So, Jamie, did you do something interesting today?
Basically, I took a lot of meth and I sprinkled it with concrete dust.
All right.
And then I designed a board game called Candyland.
Tell me about anthropolutites.
So I was expecting to do research this morning, but then my research was canceled, and then I was just sitting at my desk by myself, all like dressed nice, but just by myself at home. And then I was like, I'm really bored. And then I was like, hey, you know those board games, Carcassonne and Settlers of Catan and some other ones that you like, wouldn't it be cool if they were all the same game?
I have a suggestion for you. Next time you ever have the feeling where you say, I'm really bored, you should have a kid, because you will never feel bored in your entire life again.
I was just going to suggest Internet Rabbit Hole.
Internet Rabbit Hole?
Yes.
Well, I do a lot of that. I actually, one of the nice things about Concerta is that you no longer feel like just going down random internet rabbit holes and reading about, oh man, that was a nice one. Or just reading about random things online. Like you feel like, oh man, I got to do something. I was going to work today and to have to work today, I should do something. I should make a board game. That's what I should do.
I should retile the bathroom.
So basically, Concerta makes you act like a bipolar person who is currently manic.
Yes. It might do that a little bit. It is a stimulant.
Sounds like it.
Speaking of stimulants, this is Boss Brewer Radio. I'm Griff Hoffman. Woo! Jeff Brewer.
Hello.
And Jamie Scherer.
Hello.
Great. That's all done with. Keep going.
Yeah, so I combine them all. So here's the thing for those of you. Griffin, I don't believe you've ever played Carcassonne.
No, I haven't. You're right.
Have you ever played... You've played Settlers of Catan
nope.
at some point in your life? Uh-uh. Wow, okay.
Ticket to Ride?
I haven't played a lot of board games ever. Nope.
So...
Not a lot of dice-based board games.
Can we just make up board games, Jamie?
You guys should
That's
just...
What I did
yeah.
Make,
Have you played make, the Octopus's... Jigglers?
No, I saw it at the Games by James store in the Mall of America.
It's the sex play store. So what it is the conceit of the game is that you are, I guess this is how I think, you're digging. You're like you're some sort of like steampunky civilization, and there's like a power source, but it's at the middle of a mountain. So you have to get to the middle of the mountain, and the first player to get to the middle of the mountain and harvest the power source wins. But in order to do that, you have to excavate the mountain. And then when you excavate the mountain, you find these tunnels, and then you can build things in the tunnels that help you either get to the center of the mountain faster or help you dick over other players.
I want to be a paladin with a chaotic alignment. No.
What color is the power source? Does it glow blue?
Damn it. I thought we were going to be really silent for a long time after. the power well, I haven't decided we haven't decided on the art style yet, so that depends, you know. If okay. we go like steampunky, it's probably going to be like a big like oak and steel vat Ugh. Of a bubbling yellow goo that's steaming. It's like liquid gold.
Okay.
But not Velveeta.
Velveeta is my power source.
And but like let's say we go more down like a sci-fi route, then it might be like some sort of, I don't know.
Like a primal goo?
Yeah, goo. And if you go like the fantasy route, it could be like a crystal. I don't know.
Crystal
man.
Goo.
Crystal goo.
I vote crystal, personally.
But it's actually pretty crazy because I got it in my mind like I should do this, And then literally for the rest of the day, all day, including a little bit now, I'm just thinking, like, how could this work? How could this work? And then I'm like, I could do this. And then I say, no, that's stupid. It would never work. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Breakthrough. What if I do this? And it's a lot of fun, but it's surprisingly stressful, but in a fun way. Even though there's no importance behind it. It's just me being crazy.
Yes, I have a question. When does board game launch in European Union?
2035.
Does board game require day one patch?
Yes. And then Jeff jokingly was like, you should get a 3D printer. And I was like, looked into it. Not worth it yet.
Yeah.
So,
if only it wasn't so racist.
What?
Except your game.
Oh man, I'm probably gonna make the board tomorrow because I don't have anything to do tomorrow either.
God, so what's that I'm like?
Do that.
Are you gonna make it on paper, or are you gonna make like a legit like cardboard like? What materials are you going to use to construct the board?
I'm not going to use anything but paper until I figure out how many different types of tiles are good.
No. You need to go to a FedEx or a paper stock store of that ilk and go in there. Kinko's. And ask them. Start off by asking them what do they think would be the best kind of like stock for a board game. A board, and then just immediately barrage them with the ideas about your game and just use them because they're going to be captive for the rest of the day and use them as your sounding board.
I like it a lot.
Do they have like celebrities of the board game world whom you can send your pitches to and then like beg them to read your board game scripts?
So my uncle, who has 400 board games arranged alphabetically in his basement on special shelves that he bought, he would probably say yes, and he probably knows who they are, but I don't know who they are.
There's your connection, man.
Milton Bradley.
Have you honed your elevator pitch?
No. I'm just gonna make it. I don't even care. It's not even a pitch. I just want to. I want to play this game.
Are you gonna be that guy at PAX who's like, "Hey, you got 2 hours?"
That's my game. that would be like a dream. That's the dream.
It is the dream.
Jimmy, don't go back to school and ride this board game thing out into the end of the time.
I can literally make tens of dollars.
I think it's cool. I'm excited to see what you do with it.
You have to. It's really hard because the way it's going to work is you flip over these tiles and the tiles are going to have certain paths on them. So, and those are going to be randomly distributed. So I have to figure out like the optimal balance between like how many types of this type of tile with these roads and like things like that, which actually sounds fun. And I'm going to just do it.
Speaking of flipping over tiles to find pathways and hidden items, Forbidden Desert is like unwinnable with two people.
I'm glad that you say that, and I don't feel as stupid anymore.
Jessica and I have been trying, and we always get so close. Like, we get all four pieces, and then we just die.
It's really, really hard. You really have to use the special powers that each player has.
Like, yeah.
You have to use them every time you possibly can.
Yeah, and it's an awesome game, though. I love the difficulty.
Are you guys dying of you lose water, or are you what's the common situation?
So I think the first time I died of dehydration, and the second time – I've been a climber every time we've played. The second time we ran out of sand.
Gotcha.
Oh, Jessica just yelled that we ran out of sand both times.
Okay. That's a hard thing to – that's a hard thing to do. So this game that I'm making is basically – it's mostly Forbidden Desert, and then instead of taking the sand away and you flip over – just a normal tile. You take the sand away and you flip over a Carcassonne tile, and then you can arrange it in whatever way you want.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does make sense. I'm remembering Carcassonne. Carcassonne, you build territory with tiles, right? You basically put boundaries around your territory.
Yeah, you basically you draw a random tile. The tile has certain like topographical
features, yeah.
And then you place the tile down on a growing board, and it has to match up with wherever you decide to place it.
Yes, and you ultimately you create areas that have stuff inside of them to determine territory and stuff. Yeah,
I think Griffin hung himself.
Nope, just sipping this Stella here, listening to board games.
I like Stella. I haven't had a Stella in a long time. When I was in college, it used to be Stella and Blue Moon, but that was after I moved away from my usual go-to, which was a tiny little bottle of Smirnoff, which I would combine with a glass bottle of Snapple. Usually the glass was broken by the end of the night.
As was somebody's bone.
Yes.
and at least one condom.
That's why you gotta double bag it. So board games, man. They sound fun. I probably do have the time to play them. It's just like committing to that 2 hours to play I can't do that.
I understand, Griffin.
Do with the fam, I would imagine, not that I have a fam officially in this country, but I would imagine that if I hypothetically had a family in another country and I had to fly there on weekends to see them, and I only had a limited amount of time, one of the things I would do with them is play a board game because it involves everyone and, you know.
That way you don't have to talk to them.
Yeah, exactly. I hate connecting with people, especially the people closest to me.
I need to put a piece of cardboard between us to interact with them. Griffin, I feel you on the not wanting to, like, commit the time. Sometimes just the act of setting up a board game can seem incredibly daunting.
Well, I think it's just, like, a psychological, like, hurdle for me is to be, like, I'm going to end up hanging out with these people for 2 hours, like, if friends come over or something. It's just, like, to immediately say, like, let's play a board game. That's it for the night. Like, I have a hard time doing that. Which it ends up us just usually playing cards or like Tony Hawk or something anyway, so why does it matter? Like,
Griffin, when you went to college, did you play board games with your college friends?
No, I watched them play a lot of board games. But I'm not smart, so there wasn't any reason for me to play them.
Well, the best board games I find that I like playing even when I lose massively.
Like Risk. I watched a lot of Risk, and I don't know, it was fun to watch.
Risk is pretty infuriating, though. I find, at least.
The Onyx version of Risk that play, that one is a little different, and I really like it. It goes faster.
I played Zombies. I don't know if you guys. Yeah. I played that one a lot, and I actually own Zombies 2, I think. But yeah,
cool.
That one. I don't know anything about
that. Was a fun one.
That one.
I don't know. It's like tile building, dice rolling.
Sounds sweet.
Yeah, it's all right.
I feel like in college, my time with my friends was pretty much evenly split between we were either going to play some sort of Mario competitive game, Mario Kart, Super Smash, whatever, or we were going to play a board game. Mm. It's kind of evenly split between those two, so my brain was kind of wired to think that it's okay when your friends come over and they're only going to spend an hour or two. It's okay to say, hey, we're playing a board game now.
Yeah.
I played a board game when I was working for Pioneer. One summer I bought the Lost board game and we played that during lunch breaks every day.
What was the Lost board game? How did it work?
Yeah, it was tile based, character based, less on dice rolls. Well, I guess it was dice rolls, lots of card drawing. And it's the only game I can consistently win at.
Nice.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like it might've been a decent game.
It probably isn't because I was good at it, so that's why. Yeah, I got really into it where I like was on forums making my own characters. Yeah, it was a dark path.
Oh no,
because it only out after season 2, and it was like I need a Desmond card. I found myself at a Kinko's laminating things. It was bad.
Oh no.
It was actually horrible.
The second you go on a forum for anything is when you're all done.
Yeah.
You reach the point. Like I went on a Honda Fit Forum today.
Oh, Jesus. I've been there. Oh, my God.
I was going to say, if that's your criteria for being done, I've been done so many times, it's kind of sad.
Not with games for some reason, but with everything else. Like with headphones. Like the more I spent on that headphone forum, the closer I got to realizing that there, no one should ever be on a headphone forum for any reason. But NeoGAF is different. NeoGAF is like infinitely entertaining.
Yeah.
Because NeoGAF is not like a board game forum or a headphone forum. Because on a board game forum or a headphone forum, people talk about things that are real. And they're like, hey, this is a, when I played this game, this really happened. Or this is a car that's real. But on NeoGAF, people are just like, I don't know. Sony releasing PS5 in April?
I think NeoGAF can be really great for, like I said, it's the first place you go for news, really, if you want to get it first. Depending on how deep you go in any given topic, I think that's where you start to go wrong. Like, if you go beyond the first page of a topic, then things are going to start to get dark and weird.
I just like the ebb and flow of news and absolute boredom, where it's like, you know, Nintendo Wii U canceling what is that thing called, near field interaction productivity in future, and then the next topic is like the most insulting sexuality in a game. And you're like, okay, there's no news this week.
I like the ones where they're like, is everything finally coming up Xbox? When it's like, wait, what?
Right.
Like, throw that in right as like PS4 is totally outselling Xbox.
It was literally like 3 days before the NPD numbers came in, and it was announced that in the month of our Lord Titanfall, the PS4 still managed to outsell.
Well, so, that's a great point, Jeff. I wanted to talk a little bit this episode about E3, because that's coming up, and we could all have a little prediction fun. And then I'd also like to look at what happened at last E3 of 2013 to see how things are standing at the moment. How does that sound? NeoGAF.
I love it.
NeoGAF.
You're going to lead, Griffin, because we're going to follow.
I don't want to do that yet. I was going to... That's down the road. Stay tuned.
Oh, you just teased the audience a little
bit. I did,
there.
Yeah. I couldn't resist that segue, but I missed one earlier, so you guys were talking about families. I played a little Octodad, and let me tell you, that game is a drunk parent simulator. Or a parent, or like, it is a family simulator for somebody who has an extreme addiction to any sort of legal substance. It's like the premise of the game is like, pretend to be socially functionable or functioning amongst your beloved family and let them know no wiser that you are actually completely disabled.
Can I say that I really liked the Lovecraftian, like Cthulhu-esque, what's it called? Stained glass window in the church.
Yeah. The game has a lot of good little bits like that, but nothing stand out by any means.
Yeah, unfortunately, the nuts and bolts just aren't really. I found that I kind of got the hang of the controls too fast. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like almost trained on like quap likes at this point.
Hold the phone. Where are you guys playing this? PC, PS4?
PS4.
PlayStation 4. The dead system.
So talk about those controls, because I haven't played it yet.
Okay. Do you want me to say, Griffin, or you want to go?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So basically it works this way. You've got left analog stick is, I think, moves your arms forward and backwards. Right analog stick moves your arms left, right, up, down. And then left and right analog sticks lift your left and right legs. Or no, left and right triggers lift your left and right legs. And of course, like, you move around like an idiot. And in the beginning of the game, you can push a button and dance music turns on and you can boogie around with your octopus And that was awesome. Great. I think the major problem with the game is it just gets kind of boring kind of fast. And I'm like one mission deep and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I think the best part about the game, though, is that, okay, so by default in the game, the subtitles are turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because, like, you can clearly hear what everyone's saying until the octopus talks. And every time the octopus talks, he'll just be like, blah, 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 blah. And the game will be like, instead of just blub, it'll be like, blub, 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 excuses, blub.
Right. A disconcerted burble.
Yeah. Or like a blubbing joke. Maybe a double entendre, question mark? and that is probably the best part of that game.
Yep.
So I shouldn't spend $10 on it?
Nobody should spend $11.99 on it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a bummer, because I was really pumped when that game was shown off, like, what, in 2010?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. And
yeah, as did I.
As a person who wasn't familiar with Quap at the time, I don't even know if it existed, but, like, it's like that, the prevalence of that, and then, like, yeah. Jeff, as you said, Surgeon Simulator has totally come out to eat that game's lunch before they came out. So
yeah. If you play one Quap-like, then you should definitely play Surgeon Simulator, because that's the funniest one.
Yeah.
It's just the most entertaining to play.
Wait, I've never even heard this term, and I own Surgeon Simulator. Quap-like?
Look up Quap. Q-W-O-P. It's a game. You might have played it. You're like a racer running a 100-meter dash, except it's like crappy physics, like ragdoll-type physics.
It comes from the keyboard.
Yeah, you use QWOP to move. QW for thighs, OP for calves. And usually you just run backwards and you fall over, and then it'll be like, with great courage, you ran -0.1 meters.
I'm playing this out. It's beautiful.
Everyone is a winner. I've won Quap before.
You've won it?
Yes, I have.
Wow, I...
Once you figure it out, it's not hard, but I don't remember it anymore, honestly. But
they gamify this, I guess, a little bit more than like those two things by giving you objectives, adding that layer of like of fail state beyond just like I guess changing the fail state from like not functioning to you can't be too crazy, otherwise people take notice of you, and it raises this like attention gauge. So.
Yeah. Now, Griffin, how far are you?
I finished the backyard.
Okay, I got to the backyard. Have you encountered a situation where people have started to notice you?
What do you mean?
Have you ever been in a situation where people have started to notice your activities being weird?
Yes. Since the beginning of the game, for sure. When anybody's eyes are on you, they have these like sight lines that show up in game.
I saw those, but have you been noticed?
Like, yeah, basically, if you are too crazy with your movements, you get, like, negative demerits or whatever against you. So, like, in the church at the beginning, if you're walking down the aisle too carelessly, or you slip or something, you'll see the bar fill up with, like, purple, and that means you're getting closer to being found out.
Okay, because I haven't had that happen yet.
Sure. If you're very patient or very skilled, you can avoid it. The only thing that I find a little frustrating is like the game doesn't do a great job of telling you what those things are that make you lose those points, but it also doesn't really matter. So,
also, I feel like it's kind of antithetical to the whole point of those kinds of games, which is to just dick around. Like, why would they make it so you don't... Like, they give you a giant playground, and they're like, oh, don't dick around too much.
Yeah. You know? I guess it just keeps you on track, and like, it instead of a fail state of being like, the game is over now, like in Surgeon Simulator, it's like, you have this clear objective, it's just now, how are you going to get to it with your weird functionality, your weird jelly lens?
I guess so. I just think it's weird to give you a giant kitchen and then make it so you can't break it. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Sammy.
Did they have development woes? Why did it take so long?
I don't know. It's been on a PC for like 2 months.
Yeah. And it started out as like a college project.
Yeah, it did.
and that it just evolved more and more and more, had been noticed and kind of gained like an indie cult following, and now is being brought out on PlayStation 4. So I think it gotcha. Has had a very successful development.
Yeah, I was just asking that because of what you guys said. It was shown before Surgeon Simulator, and then the Surgeon Simulator might have stolen its thunder a little bit. But I remember it like kind of being a thing for a while. But
You're probably better off playing the free one, which is I think still available, and then seeing how you like it. And then if you enjoy it, then play more. But gotcha. Otherwise, just play Surgeon Simulator, which I'm pretty sure I...
More like Octo you said you have it, Demo. Right?
Yeah.
Whoa, Griffin. Whoa.
Uh-huh. Holy.
So, yeah, it wasn't... It's not that great. Mm-mm. It's okay, though. I want some more Blood Puns, and I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to try co-op with Jessica.
There is a story, a narrative happening with... It reminds me very Ren and Stimpy moments. Like, there is an antagonist coming after you, and I can't tell if the wife actually knows you're an octopus or not. It's still kind of ambiguous, so I'm enjoying part of it.
There's a lot of puns, like the wife will be like, oh, like, we're running low on ink. Like, we need to get some more. Like, like, I don't know where we'll get that from. Uh-huh. And then, like, something about the basement being flooded, and that's, like, the best thing that's ever happened to them. Because they spent all this time to, I don't know. Lots of weird jokes about him.
There are even more. Wait till you meet the crazy chef.
Yeah. Not there yet.
Okay. Well, wait. Just wait.
I'm excited.
If there's a crazy chef in the game, then it's worth $12.
No, it's still not worth $12.
Damn it.
I'll get further impressions, Jamie, as I get farther, because Griffin and I apparently just disagree on everything.
Yeah.
Except for Octodad.
Yeah. Right. Wait, what? Wait, what is Octodad on three? Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right.
Mediocre.
Cool.
All right.
Cool. Mediocre. Yep.
Hey, Griffin.
Hey, what's up?
Tell me about Danganronpa.
I'm playing it.
All right.
Dangan.
It's fine.
How's Monokuma?
Not interesting as an antagonist.
Shut up.
No.
Are there lots of Japanese boobies in this game?
Yeah. So-
Not as many as there could be, but there are some Japanese boobies.
Okay.
How far are you, Griffin?
I just got to people dying.
Okay, so you're not far.
No, not at all. And I keep falling asleep while I'm playing it, so it's even harder to pick up where I was. But it also doesn't matter, because I feel like so far nothing has happened.
Yeah, you're not really anywhere. You got to the first death?
The second death, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, the first death that you have to investigate?
I haven't had that part yet where I actually get to play the investigation or the, like, the truth bullets or any of those things that, like, actually seem gamey. So that's why I'm really just still kind of reserving my opinions until I get to that part. But
so all you've done is, like, some mild dating sim elements for, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, but also, like... 2 hours of just wandering around nonsense and looking at things, and it is very tedious.
Is it like Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
Yeah, 2.
Exactly.
Okay. The second one, yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I just got out of the rhino's butt.
You Griffin, you don't really have to look at the stuff. You can streamline that pretty well. By
you know
just,
how
like...
many times I've walked into the bathrooms there?
No.
A lot.
Why?
Because what if something's in there? One time I go in there.
No, stop it.
What?
You're doing it wrong.
What do you mean?
Don't do that.
I gotta look at all the rooms to see if I can go into the room.
No, the game will tell you if you can go into the room. What? You only have to do it once. You can go into all the bathrooms once, but then after you've checked out the rooms once, it'll tell you when more shit is open.
But really?
Yeah, the game will be like, okay, you can go into more things now.
Oh, it didn't tell me that before. Like, it wasn't like, go to the school shop, go to the laundry room, go to the gymnasium and the other gymnasium.
Okay, well, you've seen all those, right? You've done a single sweep of the school, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now you don't have to do that again until the game tells you there's more stuff.
But there's different stuff and things and people in there each time I go in there.
Yeah, but... Okay.
What if I go into the bathroom and there's, like, something really important one time?
No, there won't be.
And you just missed it.
What game is... What is this? So Ace Attorney... Pet Detective.
Uh-huh. Okay. What? It's okay. So Jamie, it's like it's one part. Okay. So basically, let me give you the gist of the game. So you're like in a school, right? You're trapped in this school.
It's Shimigami Tensei old school meets.
Yeah, and you part of it is that you kind of move around the school, a la like an old school, like kind of like an old school dungeon crawler, just walking around in first person mode.
Uh-huh.
And you can like click on stuff like an adventure game and.
Okay. Like it.
Like yeah, Layton style click on stuff.
Yeah, and there'll be like characters hanging around whom you can talk to. None of them have really anything important to say during the inter sections, but sometimes they say interesting things. But then there's other sections of the game, like where you have free time,
mm-hmm.
where every time you talk to someone, it advances the clock, and you can like kind of do like mild dating sim type stuff with them. Like you don't actually date anyone.
It'll also say like, do you want to spend time with this person?
Yeah, and you can actually
no.
You can outright skip that if you want.
That seems like the most enjoyable part of the game to me.
What, the date part?
So far, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway. So you can do that. You can kind of get to know people better, learn more about them, and gain abilities for the trial that you'll never need. And then there is... Someone dies, and then there is an investigation section where you... It's exactly like Phoenix Wright. And then there is a case, like a trial section, which is... Kind of like Phoenix Wright, except way more bizarre. Like Griffin said, there's something called truth bullets where you have to click on statements that are false with contradictory evidence, and then your character somehow fires a truth bullet at that statement and it shatters into little pieces. And then it goes into break mode.
There's also a lot of modes. There's a lot of interstitial little like cartoony bits. There's
yeah.
I don't know. It seems very like... episodic in like an anime sort of way where everything is broken up and chunked out and like adorably Japanese.
But there is an overarching story. I mean, it is a single narrative.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just like...
You're one dude who's going through this life where you're trapped in a school and someone's making you do crazy things.
Yeah.
The premise, you're in this school and this bear shows up and he's like, okay, you guys are stuck here for the rest of your lives, but if you want to get out, you have to kill someone and not get caught, or essentially have.
A bear says this?
Yes, yeah. this evil bear shows up. He's like kind of funny.
Nope.
All right. He's lighthearted.
Yeah.
Are we talking like polar bear, black bear, brown bear, grizzly
teddy bear?
Half and half.
Teddy bear, half black, half white.
He's a Swiss Miss of bears.
Shows up really high voice, kind of like lighthearted. He's like, okay, you guys are going to be here forever, but if you want to get out, you have to kill someone, and then in the ensuing trial, which will happen, avoid having the blame placed on you, and then you can get out and everyone else will die. But if you don't get out, then you will die.
I love anime.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to spoil too much for Griffin, but essentially...
Did you beat it?
I did beat it.
How long did it take to beat?
Probably about 15 hours, maybe. Maybe a little less.
Huh. All right.
12 hours, maybe. It's
maybe
a good game. I
might just
it.
Be thinking, I may not be progressing fast enough, maybe.
How much is this game?
Like 30 I think maybe
to 40 30. Bucks, yeah.
Yeah, 30 on Vita. It's really good. I think you'd like it, Jamie. But
sounds incredible from what you guys are saying. I'm
love it.
I'm surprised you weren't describing it with more gusto.
I was talking about it when it came out. You might not have been around, though. Podcast, Jamie.
Jeff has adored this game. He's championed it since it came out.
Yeah.
Wait, this isn't new?
It is not.
Well, it came out in like February or maybe January.
It's like 3 months old.
Yeah. I like marathoned it when it came out, though.
Yeah.
Now you were saying that this is very similar to another game.
Yeah, it's very similar to, well, it's by the same people that made the 999 games, the
VLC.
Zero Escape.
Yeah, VLR, you're right.
Yeah, Virtue's Last Reward and 999 are their games.
And, And you were saying that VLR is better than this?
Okay, this is where the semantics come in, and I totally agree with you, Jeff. I think that, like I said, Danganronpa is a better video game, but VLR is a better experience.
Mm. I think that from what I've seen of VLR, it has a very different feel. I mean, I played more of 999. I enjoyed them both. I think you should play them both.
Danganronpa is a better game because of the systems that are in it, because of the exploration that exists in that game. It seems more fleshed out as a video game and less of like an iPhone tablet experience or like an old school, PlayStation 1 dungeon crawler or something that you could compare like the other game to. Like they share similar roots, but the gaminess, like the opportunity to be a video game, is explored more with Danganronpa. VLR hooks you immediately. I think it has a more interesting story off the bat, and I think that it is. So here's my analogy that I've been working through all day today. All right, so you guys watch Trigun, right?
Yeah,
of course. Okay. With you on VHS.
Exactly. Yeah. Suncoast, rest in peace. VLR is the back half of Trigun, and Danganronpa is the front half of Trigun in terms of tone. So, how do you like your anime? Do you like it super serious and really convoluted and bullshitty? Or do you like it like weird, quirky guys with cat faces bouncing around and like lots of zaniness?
My question is, can it be both?
Yeah, that's what the best anime is. And that's why Trigun is the best anime.
And Danganronpa has a bit of both.
Well, not yet, it seems.
Not yet, but you're in the front half. You're not in the back half yet.
Well, I'm hoping that it gets better, because right now...
The back half, seriously, is like... It's good. It's gonna be Trigun. It's gonna be Trigun.
I'm saying the tone, not like.
Yeah.
I don't care about dudes shooting dudes.
I think the whole point of it is like the tone is purposely like between this kind of lighthearted, weird tone and like a more dark. It's always gonna be there. You'll see.
But the darkness for me that I enjoy in these games is not the, oh man, isn't it awful that high schoolers are killing each other?
It gets more real than that, Griffin.
Okay, I don't want more. See, this game already starts out like nonsense, and it goes more, I'm assuming it goes more nonsense, especially with its like interstitial episode things where it's like Matakuma Kuma Kuma, and it's like a little vignette of him like planting a radish or something. VLR, it never stops being serious, and I think the characters are more enjoyable from that. It creates rules and establishes things right off the bat, and it's less ambiguous than this game right away, but then it unfolds from there and refers back upon itself, and that's what I think becomes really enjoyable. Now maybe this game does that later, and I'm going to keep playing it. And I said I'm going to finish it this year.
Yeah,
it's not hooking me like VLR got me immediately.
I understand that VLR, just from the 3 minutes that I played and loved, and then promptly forgot about, just immediately grabs you. But I really liked Danganronpa. I do hope you stick with it, and it sounds like you will. And I'm happy to hear that, because I want to hear your later game impressions, because I think you'll see a tonal shift.
Oh, and sure. I mean, it's the same people. It's the Spiketoonsoft guys. So I mean, maybe it's not the same team exactly, but there has to be the same ideas. So I would hope that they kind of go that same route of like insane science banana stuff at some point.
Yeah, you'll see.
Good. I would like to. I know. Yeah.
You should play it, Jamie. It's a good Vita game.
I really want to play. I feel like we've mentioned this before on the podcast, and either because of the name or because it's just an odd game, I've maybe tuned it out or something. And I feel like today was the first day where I really listened to you guys and listened to what it's about. And I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible.
The sequel is getting localized. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. And you may as well just start playing him now because there's not going to be a third Zero Escape, so...
Not for a while.
Yeah, the that game has been, or that series has been effectively canned.
That's really sad.
Yeah, it is.
Because I really liked 999 until I realized I'd have to resolve all those puzzles, and then I got mad at it.
999 is a weak game. It is very weak. It suffers immensely.
Yeah. Great story, though.
Yeah, but just go play VLR, and it's free for Plus members, maybe.
Yeah, well, I have it. I don't know if you got it, Jamie. Did you get it, Jamie?
I don't think so, unfortunately. Bah. I'll just buy Old Grandpa instead.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's newer.
That's great,
and
yeah.
It's more of a game.
Well, it actually might be older.
What?
Oh, really?
It's a PSP port.
Really?
Really? Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was upported to Vita. But it's newer. It's a newer, older. Older, newer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that explains the lack of touchscreen controls.
Well, they're there, but they don't feel native, and they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well,
yeah.
Play it, Jamie. It's really good.
Can I get it on my PSP? Can I play it on my Ice Blue PSP?
No, because it was only Japan for PSP.
Damn it! Still have that sucker. Here.
Jeff, you also played FTL. Speaking of old games, FTL on the iPad.
Yes, so I went a little crazy and got an iPad with my tax refund because I just decided that FTL was the tipping point. And I had previously been playing it on PC, and then I got it for iPad, and it is really, really awesome on iPad. That is a game that, just like having a device that can play it without having to like tether you to a computer, because it is a game that kind of sucks you in. Mm-hmm. Like having it be moderately mobile is a good thing, I feel like. And also being able to just press a button and exit the game, just like hit the home button and just immediately exit the game, is a good way to tear yourself away, because it's the kind of game that will just suck you in for hours.
Yeah. Did you get your iPad in space gray or silver?
Silver. That's the only correct answer.
Good choice.
Yeah. Space gray is dumb.
What?
It's for dumb people.
What?
Jamie agrees. He's laughing.
I'm with you, man. If you're going to get an Apple device, you have to get the white one, because then it'll hasten your decision to buy the next version of it, because you'll scratch it and you'll see it more easily.
Why would you get the white one?
I will never scratch it. Jamie, what color is my smart cover?
What color is your smart cover?
Yes.
Hold on. I'm going to take a gander. I'm going to take a guess. All right. You just give me a second.
Also, okay, I got it. Can I tell you something funny about my smart cover? I got it for half price because literally when the Retina Mini came out, they released new smart covers that were exactly the same as the old one, except the back of the packaging says something different.
Wow.
What is a smart incredible. Cover?
It's the thing that you put over the iPad that has a little clip that goes on the side. It's the magnetic clip.
Oh.
Did you get a green one?
Correct.
Oh, wow. Awesome. They're nice.
Yes.
I hate how I like the iPad a lot. I still have mine from, I don't know. I got the first Retina one. They're not even like a bad investment. Like I can play any modern, you know, tablet game on my generations old iPad.
They're really not. And they also, for some reason, I don't know why, in a way that no Android tablet has, even the Nexus, they make me feel like I want to be like productive on them. Like if like I could do that.
And yeah, also, we'll just like, try and it won't happen. It's awful. If you try to do anything work related on an iPad, it's literally like, you know, scraping chalk against the chalkboard or your nail against the chalkboard. It's really infuriating.
All right. Well, at least
it has been.
At the very least, I just immediately have access to crazy games that I never had on Android, which is pretty
Moonrise sweet. Kingdom.
I'm play that one.
Which
I'm
one?
Play it. Moonrise Kingdom? It's like an Escher painting.
Oh, you mean Monument Valley?
That's what I mean.
The game that I did play and beat.
Thomas Anderson.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was a movie. Monument Valley. I played it and beat it, and it is a great game.
Oh, cool.
Really, really good. I think you would like it a lot, Jamie.
I'm excited.
It takes about, I'd say about 2.5 hours to beat, but it's only $4. And every moment of it, I was really liking it. It's the kind of game, it's like very, it doesn't waste your time. Like, everything you do in it is fun and doesn't get to the point of making you feel mad at the fact that you're playing like a annoying puzzle game. It's just like, okay, here's this cool concept. Check it out. It looks cool. Maybe scratch your head for a little while and then solve it and we'll move on.
Huh.
And it is gorgeous. I really, really like it.
I like me my puzzle games.
Yes. You're going to love it. You need to buy it.
You what need about? To play yourself some goddamn Escape Goat too. Fool.
But well, let me tell you why this can't happen, why I'm not going to probably play it. Because I, before this podcast started, I was installing Dark Souls 2.
Yes.
I'm 20% of the way there, Griffin.
Oh my god, finally.
Wait, did you beat... What?
No, I didn't beat Dark Souls 1 yet.
It doesn't matter. Move on.
No,
Dark Souls 2 is the new one.
Yes. I'm gonna beat Dark Souls.
Why'd you get the second one?
Just so I have it, because I'm dumb.
No, yes, play it.
How much is it?
I got it for $40 because I used a code on a website called Green Man Gaming. But it's $50 base price, I think. I will see if I can use that code with you. What's that?
Could I get it for? Can we all play together?
No, it's not that kind of game.
I thought it was. No, it is.
It totally is. It is.
No, it's not, Griffin.
Yes, it is. No, get it, Jamie. We can play it all together. Yeah.
He's lying to you.
No, yeah, that's what you do.
No, he's lying to
you. No, you leave messages on the floor for each other. It's fine.
That's what you do. No. I've seen it.
It's fine. I'll restart my PlayStation 3 version and we can all play together. I'll make a new character.
He's lying. Oh, hey, Dark Souls is still $37.50 on Green Man Gaming for Steam. You want this code? I'm going to copy this code for you.
Dark Souls 2?
Dark Souls 2, yes.
$37?
Yeah, I'm copying the code for you right now, Jamie.
Is this a game that's going to make me frustrated?
Yes.
You've played Demon's Souls. You kind of know the gist of it.
Yeah.
I'm
okay with being frustrated. I like being frustrated. I like when I walk into a room and Escape Goat 2, one of the greatest puzzle games of our generation, and I have to scratch my head a little bit. That's what I like.
Jamie,
did you
didn't play the Dark Souls or the Demon Souls before?
Not really to any appreciable extent.
Okay.
But you know how they control. Like, have you played Monster Hunter? Like, you kind of understand.
Basically, it's like it's a game that does not control well. Right?
Yeah. I disagree.
Yes. Yeah, it is not an intuitive, immediate, snappy action game. Like, there is delay. There is
it's slow. But I wouldn't say it controls poorly. I think people would not like it if it controlled poorly.
Okay.
I think it controls very well. It's just you will be punished for making careless actions.
Gotcha.
Animation is king.
Yeah.
You have to watch the animations.
Yeah. Yes, you do. You do.
It's kind of cool.
I cannot wait for you to start playing this game, both of you.
If I go into it with a good mindset, will I not cut myself?
No, you won't. Dark Souls, I think, like, the time I've spent with Dark Souls, which is probably like 40 hours now, has been incredible, and I will beat that game. I don't care about, like, I have Dark Souls 2 preloading, yeah. But I need to beat Dark Souls. Like, that is a thing that needs to happen.
And the best thing about these games, Jamie, is though Jeff disagrees with me, it is a multiplayer game, and if everybody starts playing together, you can treat it like a multiplayer experience where everybody is going into areas together, though not together in the game. It's like a mail correspondence, like, chess game that's happening where all of us progress and then we talk about, you know, that what stumps us and what gets us going and tips and tricks. It's the best.
It's like NeoGAF,
but real life.
Okay. I mean, I agree with that. It's not multiplayer in the purest sense, but it's
multiplayer.
Okay. I'm going to say another thing about Monument Valley because I kind of skimmed over it. Just for people who don't know about it, it is the whole thing is that it's basically like M.C. Escher, the game. So lots of impossible pathways being created. Yes. Except it's got its own feel to it.
Okay.
It feels more streamlined than Echo Chrome. Echo Chrome was very fiddly. Mm-hmm. Like, you had to rotate things just so. In this, you only have four angles of rotation, more or less.
Is there a lot of waiting like there was in Echo Chrome 2?
No, there's not. Oh, you control your dude directly.
Oh,
you click,
cool,
they
cool.
go there. Yeah, it's less of the bullshit. Like, all the good ideas from Echo Chrome and none of the stupid ones.
Awesome.
Really good game, and it's gorgeous.
I'm going to play it. And it's out for iOS, and it will be coming out for Android, right?
Eventually, yeah. Just play it on iOS, though. Or don't. Hello?
Hello. My girlfriend's chastising me for being too loud.
Oh, okay. I get that sometimes. I'm excited to play Dark Souls 2, Griffin. I am very worried that I will not enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed Dark Souls.
You won't. You'll hate it.
Are you just saying that to be contrary based on everything else? Or are you worried that I'm bringing a bad mindset to it?
I think that you will think of it like how I did when I started playing. I was like, ah, this is different and weird and scary. Mm. And the role's funny. And the Estus flask is strange. And the internet says that there's a bigger delay when you're drinking things. And I can't bring my shield up. And now I'm pissed at it. And this game sucks.
Well,
but
the main thing is that I'm going to be
looking...
if you
just give it time, it does really grow on you.
I hope so. The main thing I'm going to be looking for is I want it to have the same kind of... I don't care about, like, changes of that nature. I'm more worried about, like, general, like, world feel. Like, does it feel as mysterious and, like...
It feels just as mysterious, but it does not feel as astonishingly connected as Dark Souls does.
Okay.
Like, that's it does, but because you have the instant warp with the bonfire, it seems like... From the outset, it does feel like things were cheapened a little bit with that game. But as long as you're not worried so much about, like, well, I, you know, walked through this door and came in. Like, it still has it. It's just a little bit more toned down.
Yeah, and, like, in Dark Souls, I'm trying to get the... Oh, I'm in the Painted World right now, but I was trying to get the Lord Vessel. Like, I was like, I'm going to go fight Ornstein and Smough.
What happens if I play this game... But I don't do any research.
Good.
That's what I'm going to do.
Don't
I'm
do
not
it.
Gonna
don't,
do
don't,
it.
Don't
any
look at
research.
Fine.
That's fine. You may have some like questions, like you may not realize that you can upgrade your weapons, which is the thing you should do.
advise you not to look anything up, at least for a while, like until you hit a wall, because
no, I agree.
It really like. I think I've said this on podcasts before where like it's really easy to demystify this game because like people do the Mario speedrun of this. There's like everybody has hammered out the one true path essentially at this point. So, you know, and there's so much like archaic speak of builds and you know, most effective methods of getting through that this game that it can really get demystified and really really spellbroken immediately if you looked at too much stuff like a Wikipedia of some kind. So I'd say go into it as pure as you can with knowing as little as possible and just enjoy the ride. And when you do hit a wall, like go to some real life person first or like just like what I did was maybe watch like a Giant Bomb video or somebody who's doing like a Let's Play, because if you go and look at that, you're not seeing the answer. You're seeing kind of just the game through a different lens. And I know that's helped me in several situations like, oh, I've never looked at it this way. So, oh, that's a different path I can take, or this is something interesting. Like, it's
that's
awesome.
Cool. I'm glad you're saying that because, that's kind of what I want. I want to be able to go through at least a chunk of it by myself, and I like feeling completely mystified and confused. And then maybe after trying something for a couple days, going to you guys, like not the internet, and being like, hey, what's up with this?
Yeah, you really don't want to look at the internet for this because like half of the fun that I'm having in Dark Souls or a lot of the fun that I'm having in Dark Souls is not worrying about critical pathing and literally just exploring every single area, whether it matters or not.
Mm-hmm.
And just and also, like learning about the world.
Pick your battles too with what you're going to choose to do on the internet. Like if you do break down, say, I want to know what to do, like say, okay, this is exactly what I want. I'm going to look this up. Don't fall down into the wormhole. Like, take your Xanax or whatever the hell your stuff is to, like, get out of the wormhole. Just look and then get away. Because it's easy to fall down there and see, like, oh, well, what's this boss? What's this location? Oh, well, what is this item that I need to be able to upgrade my stuff later on in the game? Like, don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, you want to not have anything spoiled. Like, I haven't looked at any news about Dark Souls 2 at all yet. And that's how I like it.
Jeff, do you buy this through Green Man and then they give you a Steam key?
Correct, yeah. I'll walk you through how to get the Steam key if you want. It's really not hard.
Okay. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, you just buy it, and then you have to just go to your account into, like, a special tab, and then there's your Steam key.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, yes, finally!
Griffin, I may play this a little and then decide I want to finish Dark Souls first.
Be ready
for that.
Boring.
I'm having such a good time with Dark Souls.
Is there any story, or do you make the story in your head as you are wandering through?
This game's story is, like, it's bananas. Like, it is.
There's story. In the first one, there's a story. There's, like, a rudimentary story that you can follow. And there is a ton of lore in the world that you can choose to engage with or not. And you can engage with it kind of at any level. Like, I'm interested in the vistas and everything I see and, like, looking at little pieces. I don't really care about, like, constructing an overarching narrative, but, like, I'm able to engage with the lore at the level that I want to, and also kind of enjoy the small story beats that the game does give you.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I was going to say that it goes hell of deep, and if you're a crazy person like me who really enjoys digging into, like, the cryptology of that and, like, character design and world design and all that stuff, that's, like, telling a story at a beyond superficial layer, it is rich. It is like the Lost of video game storytelling, where you find this item. If you read the item description, it says one thing, and then if you drop the item and you pick the item back up, it says something else, and that reflects upon the world as a whole. And, like, there's these bosses that have insane backstories to them based on their behavior. Like, you know, it's like the Metal Gear Solid boss fights that if you didn't listen to the codex while you're fighting them, you'd be like, oh, that guy is just a weird vampire man. You're like, no, wait, he's actually a transvestite who drinks blood.
I love it. I'm in love.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, yeah, Jeff, that's something you can do.
So wait, explain the item dropping thing again.
Like, there is an item in Dark Souls that if you interact with it in a different manner, like if you drop it and you pick it back up in a certain location, or if you get it off a dead body versus off giving it through a trade progression or something like that, like, it has a different description that plays differently into the world and exposes more things going on. Like,
are we talking about the first one or the second one?
Both. And Demon Souls. Like, this is a trend. Like, there is hell of a story to these games. It is crazy rich, deep. It is fascinating. It is so, so cool that these things are this deep.
Yeah, it goes really deep. If you wanted to. I didn't know about the item. I'm not sure. If you told me the item's name, I might recognize it.
I don't know. It was a New Game Plus thing that I'm not
okay.
aware of.
Okay. I haven't gone down that path, and I probably won't.
Was the cloak of the Wither Soldier.
I know nothing about that. I don't know. Sounds cool, though.
Jeff, is this a voucher? This code?
It's just a code. It's a. You know how you can activate a product on Steam with a code?
Yeah.
It's one of those. After you've bought it, just go to Green Man Gaming. Go to your name.
Hmm? That code you gave me in the chat.
Oh, that's a voucher, yes.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
No problem, bro. It literally was when I opened my Twitter feed, it was the top tweet. Dark Souls 2 is still $37.50.
Hmm. Nice.
Same price as Titanfall.
From Wario 64.
Why is Titanfall $37.50?
It was $37 change on Amazon Lightning deals. oddly
oh, yeah,
enough,
that's right.
For all platforms.
When that happened.
You should have grabbed it. You should have grabbed it, Jeff.
Oops.
Grab it.
Oops.
Grab it.
Oops.
Play the only next gen game that's out right now.
Even though it's also out on current gen.
Yeah.
I feel like $37 is a better price for this game than $60. Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, well, it's only $50 on Steam regularly, I think.
Okay.
Also, I would gladly pay $60 for Dark Souls 2.
Most definitely.
I mean, I'm leaning towards, I'll probably end up there too, but for someone who's like uninitiated and who doesn't know very much about the game, and who, from outside, it seems kind of like your garden variety dungeon crawler. That's kind of pretty. But I didn't know that it had all this insanity and depth to it. So.
It's a really good franchise. It has a reputation that is justly earned.
Mm-hmm.
It's really worth experiencing. You got to go in there kind of ready to have something special, but it is unique. There's nothing quite like it.
Awesome. No.
And it is so unique that it is something that like a lot of indie games and a lot of high profile AAA games are trying to ape in its special feeling of like not necessarily. I think that the punishing brutal difficulty is blown out of out of perspective for Dark Souls. It's more of just like, it's not hand holding. Like you don't start the game when they say you should press the X button to crouch. You know, they throw you in the game and you're exploring and you're walking around and there's a branch and you somehow figure out how to crouch to get under it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get it. It's like, what item do you want? This item may affect your luck bonus. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean?
For me, the beauty of the game is like you kind of start out, you're like kind of naked and alone. Like you exit this prison cell and you just go out and you die. And then you come back to life and you more or less easily kill this boss, like it's not that hard, and you go into the world and like you literally wind up at this area and you're like, I don't even know like where to go from here. I don't even see anywhere that I can go. And then over time, like as you explore, as you occasionally fail, as you like kind of push the boundaries a little bit, you slowly learn more and more about the world. You slowly find new pathways. You know, every you know, just when you think you've completely plumbed the depths of an area, you find a turn that takes you into a whole new cavern, and you just keep finding more and more and more. And yeah, sometimes the game is really hard. Other times it's just kind of, you know, it's neutral difficulty.
And for humans like you and me, Jamie, it is still easy to progress if you just have patience. Like Jeff is, you've told me you've done things that I don't even understand how you could stumble into that. Like it blows my mind that you able to that you discover those things naturally. But it's not like that demanding. It requires patience.
Gotcha.
I think the one thing you're thinking of, Griffin, I had help finding. You mean the thing with the two breakable walls?
No, I meant the bird back to the monastery.
Oh, it just seemed, I don't know, okay, that seemed obvious for some reason, but you don't even have to do that. It's just there if you want it, and it's a whole area.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a really, really good game, Jamie. It's the kind of game that you could, it's almost like I can, like, curl up with, like, sometimes it makes me really mad, but sometimes I can just, like, play Dark Souls and feel like I'm just being transported to this other world where, like, I never know what's waiting around the corner.
It reminds me a lot of the experiences that I had when I was playing World of Warcraft. What I really liked about that game was the low-level areas, just because of the experiences that I would have. And I really enjoyed going back to them and, like, helping new players out or, like, just running it again by myself. Because I, like, really love that world that it created. Like, going to the Defias camp or something like that, or fighting like Van Cleef, like doing that low level dungeon, like that is kind of what this game reminds me of, where it's like there's these very powerful moments of discovery and like enchantment that it has, and it's done after you finish it, and there's almost no reason to go back to it, but there is something also really enjoyable of just like walking back through that area.
And just like, curb stomping every single enemy along the way.
Yeah, essentially. And it also has, it's not like just like my stats are better now. It's you as a player grow. It has that Mario feel of like, you know exactly when to jump to kill that first Goomba in 1-1. Yeah. Like, you know exactly who's going to be around the corner when you go there because you've fought him 15 times in the last 30 minutes.
But conversely, if you're having a bad day and you're going through the trash level area, and you just are feeling annoyed, you're probably going to die there. Like, if you're, like, really pushing it and really just, like, rushing and not thinking, and, like, you just, like, run into the dudes, you're like, okay, I'm just going to kill all these guys because I'm really mad because I just died, then you'll probably die again.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are moments like that. Yeah. But
Timmy, just end this game played right now.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's earned its reputation very much.
I bought it. I just bought it with my money.
Why don't you love it?
I am.
Okay.
There's a little green man with a laser beam telling me I have to wait a minute.
Once he's done talking to you, the laser man, click on your name and then you just click games and it'll be there.
Okay. Awesome.
Under the tab labeled Steam Games. Sorry, go ahead, Griffin.
Do you have anything else you want to say about Monument Valley?
Just to throw in at the end. it looks nice. There's little birds in it that go wah! Wah! There's a totem pole.
Alright, I like those.
You're gonna like the totem pole. It's a cool totem pole. It's really fun. It's a great little game. I had a great time with it. They're gonna make some expansions. They're gonna add some more levels.
Sex expansions?
Yeah.
Can I play Dark Souls 2 on my Ultrabook?
You can try. I don't think it's going to work, but you can try. You might be able to run it on low settings.
Kind of want to play it on the Ultrabook in bed.
You can play it on the PS3.
It's a game that does well with a controller wherever you play it, Jamie. Definitely don't use the keyboard bindings.
I won't.
Yeah.
I want to play
Don't have to
bed.
Worry about that on PS3. Oh.
You know, you have to worry about subpar frame rates.
What is that? What is that noise?
It was my phone. I don't know what's going on.
It sounded like you inserted a horn noise.
Well, that just means it's time to move on. I played Trials Fusion and Trials Frontier. They're the Trials games that came out on the PS4 and other current gen consoles, and I don't know. Maybe other things besides iOS. I don't know. Who knows?
That what's
fucking
Trials
wasteland
Frontier?
That is not iOS. Trials Frontier is a. I don't know if it's iOS specific, but it is a handheld Trials game where you tap the screen to rotate or tap the screen to gas and then rotate. I think I don't really remember. It's very light. It has an energy-based currency in it, so already get off the bus because it's not going anywhere. But it seems interesting. It's well made. It's fun. Like you're going through levels, doing tricks, jumping jumps, doing stuff. It's very nice. It's fun.
Is this the game with the guy in the cage that we saw at PAX?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Amazing.
It's fun.
I heard that Trials Fusion, not as good as Revolution.
I don't know what Trials Revolution is.
Or
Evolution.
Evolution, sorry. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, Evolution.
And then HD was before that and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I played it for a little bit, about a half hour. It seems fine. I don't know, man. Like, these games don't speak to me. Like, Pain, I never bought Pain, so I've never been interested in these kind of games. Fusion seems like from all accounts, there's weird things happening under the hood in terms of narrative, which is a really weird thing to say about this franchise. That has me interested, but I also don't really like the gameplay. So,
okay.
And I don't know enough people playing it to have that like multiplayer competitive ghost riding fighting thing be appealing. So.
The
it's
crappy
pretty.
Press, the oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was gonna say the crappy press makes me want to just get Evolution on PC.
All right,
But we'll see.
Play the old game.
Motorbikes!
I don't know what the crappy press is, that they're just saying like it's worse than the new one, or what?
They're just, yeah, they're saying the new one, not as good. Just lost some of
just
the soul. I don't
blanket
know.
Blanket statement, like...
Pretty, I think just kind of...
Two thumbs down? Nothing specific? Or...
No one's saying two thumbs down, but a lot of people saying, like, just kind of not as good as the previous game. Like, still okay, but just okay.
Well, I mean, from all accounts, it's the same game. From all the things that I've read and listened to, it is the only difference is it is in a different venue. It's still the exact same game. So
okay,
I don't really know if that's what the negativity is surrounding. It doesn't sound like there's any specifics being cited in what you've heard, Jeff. But if what they're saying is like the improvement is only one of a wrapper around the same like jump game I'm already playing. This time the color is space instead of dirt, then fine. Like, but I hear there's some cool stuff later in the game.
Okay,
but I don't know.
Check it wrong.
I don't like these games anyway, so it can bite me.
I never played Trials, but I watched a lot of it, and for whatever reason I was absolutely transfixed by it.
Really,
I really have wanted to buy it for a long time. In some form or another. It's a true story.
Wow.
I often want to buy games.
What's the wow moment for that, Griffin? That I watched it?
No, that Jamie wants to buy games.
I just did. And it, you know, it doesn't make it go away. You still just want to buy more.
Now you should play that game.
That's how they get you.
Now that you bought it, play it, James.
Just play it. Right now. Hearthstone on the iPad, and it's fine. It's fine.
Still Hearthstone. I'm going to play that. I downloaded it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
You should. It's free.
Fine. I'll probably play it this weekend.
If you like card games.
I was addicted to Magic for like a month.
Then you may like this game.
Not going to spend a single penny on it.
Good, good. I think it's kind of boring, but call me crazy.
I suspect I might not enjoy it that much, but the internet's going wild.
Yeah, I mean, I've played more of it on the beta, the PC beta, than I did on the iPad. I only played through the tutorial because they made me, because I couldn't log into my account, because I hate Blizzard's login garbage.
Oh, God.
But
I also hate Blizzard's logins.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, it's fine. It works pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's quite true, Jamie.
Screw Blizzard.
Yep.
I hate their success.
Griffin, did you play... Diablo 3?
Yes, I did.
Did you like Diablo 3?
Well, as a person who's never liked Diablo games, it was alright, I guess.
As a person who liked Diablo 2 for a little while, and I never actually owned it, I just played the single-player campaign, it was terrible.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a superlatively boring game.
This piece of trash.
Piece of trash.
I want to meet the CEO of Blizzard... And I want to pee on his face.
Let's talk about StarCraft 2. That game sucks.
What? You guys are just hating on things that are good. This is why, Jeff, you don't like Skylanders, because it's a popular thing.
Help me understand what's good about Skylanders.
Skylanders...
Well, this is... Can I make my position on Skylanders clear before you started? So I don't know anything about Skylanders. I've never played it. But it looks like the incredible. It looks like the best thing that's ever happened to it's children.
It's not. It's not the best thing that's ever happened, but it is really, really nice.
Does your child engage in this?
He did very briefly, but then like within I think 30 minutes, he got too old for it. Like I watched it happen. Like he went from pupa to butterfly. Or however that works. While Skylanders was launching, and that was then he was really into it because I was really into it for maybe 3 months, and then it was gone.
So
I just want but a
I have other
figure.
Other people's children. This is really weird. Other people's children
you have
really
them?
Like playing Skylanders with them. Me.
That's not a thing you want to say on your
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, help me understand. So Skylanders.
Uh-huh.
Tell me if I have this right. There's a game there, all right?
Yep.
You buy the $15 or the $10 guys, right?
Nope.
They're $10
False.
Each.
Incorrect.
12?
Wrong. Doesn't
How
matter.
Much for
you're
each
already one? Like you're too cynical about it already, Jeff. Like you're not going to give it a chance.
You weren't wrong about the actual game. Your attitude was wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So hold on.
And the little toys.
So you buy
that.
The game, you buy the game, you get some dudes with the game, right?
You buy the $60 game, you get everything you need to play it with dudes.
And then there's more dudes that you can buy, right?
Yes, there are.
And then you buy those dudes and they just replace the dudes you have. It's like buying more heroes in a MOBA, right?
I think so. Yes.
Do you buy more dudes?
Do what? Me personally?
Yes.
I have bought 2 extra dudes.
Okay.
Can you buy Spyro?
Spyro comes stock with the first game, so you're set with Elijah
nice.
Wood. It also comes with the other 2 arguably best characters in the game, and then there's 1 expansion that has a really cool character that I got for Christmas, because he is a Street Shark, and obviously you want to play as a Street Shark. Nope.
It
okay.
just seems like
well,
it just seems like such a money sink to me.
Well, I mean, you're also the guy that buys every Nintendo game that surfaces through that cesspool. So, I mean, your opinions
are
questionable.
I will grant you that Pokemon X and Pokemon Y as 2 separate entities are really scummy. I won't even argue with you on that.
Wait.
You just broke this story wide open for me. Hey, Griffin, because you just told me that there are Street Sharks inside this game.
There is one of the characters is a shark man who has brass knuckles, and his power is he jumps into the ground and his fin sticks out, and then he pops out of the ground and belly flops people.
I'm surprised this is only $60.
Tell me about
I'm ready to pay multiple thousands.
Tell me the actual gameplay, Griffin. Like, what's the actual gameplay like?
Okay, well, this is why I think that it's really easy to be cynical about this game, because you can say, oh, it's really cloying, it's a money sink, like, it's just going after children who want to have toys or whatever. But it's actually not that bad. Like, you can get the game for $60. You can play through the game with the things that are provided through the base copy and have a really good time because it provides enough diversity. The gameplay is very similar to like a Gauntlet arcade style thing, but with light puzzles and light collection and light character progression, where you have a branching path, you're collecting jewels and crap based on people you fight, you can replay levels to get more things, you're getting hats. This is easily the worst part of that game, is you get hats that boost stats, but it's also kind of funny looking. And then it, like, there are certain parts of the level that are gated by different Skylanders type. So much like Pokemon, they all have types. But those areas are gated, like the gated part is like maybe an additional arena battle or some kind of puzzle or some kind of platform puzzle. And then you have to have a Skylander of a certain type to open that up and go interact with it. And then that yields usually another hat, which is kind of weak, arguably.
Okay.
The other thing is your characters level up to a certain level. I think it's 20 is the max now. But, you know, the more you level, the more different abilities you earn, much like a standard action, character action game. And there's branching paths. Each character has certain special levels associated with them that you can go into like a training zone, and then all your characters can play through those levels to beef up their stats. And there's just something really cool about having this real-life toy, putting it on a platform, having it zoom into the game, and playing that. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe you don't find that as delightful as I do, but I think it's really neato.
I'm with you.
It's really easy to hate on Skylanders because it has been this like crazy success, and it's being championed by Blizzard, which everybody, you know, Activision Blizzard, which again, very easy to hate. But I think that their first game was complete luck. They just hit upon this gold mine that should never have been successful, and it was because so many stars aligned. It worked out well. Giants was probably the game it should have been. Then the year after that, you had in 2013, you had Swap Force, which was not done by Toys for Bob, and it was, you know, kind of a half step, it seemed, where you can take pieces of the toys and manipulate them. Like, it seems like an interesting idea where it's like, hey, let's have more manipulation on the toy side than in the game side. And now we have Skylanders Trap Team coming out in 2014, where it is Ghostbusters. You fight enemies and then you put a crystal into the portal and you can suck the enemy into the crystal and then you can use the enemy to fight alongside your Skylanders, and it just is getting closer and closer to the best, like, better Pokemon experience.
I'm okay with this as long as you don't need to, you really don't need to buy anything outside of the dollar core thing for the kiddies, because I would feel like, okay, that's good then, because I feel like the problem is when the kid feels like to be better, he needs the next toy, but he doesn't need, in this case, he doesn't need it to be better at the game. It's just kind of an additional thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can boost your stats with other characters. So like if I have you start with the three main characters and I buy a fourth, I can then take that fourth character and he'll unlock some other parts of the game, and he'll unlock like another level that I can play with all my original three characters, and that will get a +1 to their strength instead of, you know, nothing before. And it's a very minor increase, but it doesn't really matter because you can totally finish the game anyway, and the game has bullet hell style boss fights anyway, so why does it even matter that you're beefing them up? But it's such a good game. It's actually funny. It has that like Pixar charm of like there is a multiple layers joke happening in a lot of instances. You do not need to buy more to progress or be better. It's more of just like, here are your main guys. Does this guy look cool to you? Yes. Maybe you want him. Does this guy look cool? Maybe you want him. Like,
I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions in rapid succession, and okay, you can answer any of them.
Lightning round. Because
I have so many questions.
Uh-huh.
Can you, once you buy a toy, can your friends use it, or is it like bound to your account?
It is bound.
So wow. you can't buy a used toy.
You can. You can reset it.
Okay, that's good.
Can your friend give you the toy, reset it, and then you give it back to your friend and they reset it?
Yes. Can you buy a toy, not take it out of the package, play it, and then return it to the store? Yes.
Are there rare?
Yes.
Options?
Yes.
How high do those sell for?
I've seen them up to $70 on eBay/Amazon.
That's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah. Really?
so can I say go ahead.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, $200 for a toy.
Well, I think it's because it doesn't really change. It's not like it makes your character more powerful. It just like will affect their in-game aesthetic, and then you have a different looking toy. So you can get a clear Moltor, and he is clear, and you can't see through him, and you put him in the game, you put him on the portal, and he looks like that in the game too. But it doesn't mean that he has an additional set of abilities.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So can I say a thing real quick? I'm not necessarily, I was actually having like an internal debate about this the other day. I don't necessarily think Skylanders is like a ripoff. I understand that like the toys have value and people spend, you know, $10, $12 on action figures all the time. I just don't, I guess I don't really like how it's just kind of another way to make games cost more. And I don't like that.
Yeah, even you're right. But that has existed already. Like, there's already games that do that, but they did it before and they did it worse. This game does a really cool thing where they say, hey, here's a decent game and here's some kind of cool looking figures.
Yeah, I just have no interest in engaging with it because I don't want to spend money on that in any way. I don't necessarily think that it's like terrible. Like I'm fine with other people doing it, but I just don't. I want to stay away. I think I've been burnt before playing Magic. I've been down the collectible route.
Yeah.
And it's just like, bleh.
But it's not Magic because it's not competitive. Like, you don't need to pay more money for a more powerful card.
Okay, but I mean, if you want to collect them all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, compare this to Pokemon. So right now in Pokemon, if you want to collect them all, essentially you have to buy both versions, which is bullshit. But or you have a friend who has them both.
Right.
So you pay $80. But if you want to collect them all in Skylanders, you pay like, I don't know, like 150 maybe for the whole thing. Is that a fair estimate?
Sure. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, potentially more.
Yeah.
I'd say probably 200. But I mean.
It's like it kind of walks that line.
If you're viewing yourself and saying, I am compelled to go all in these types of situations, then that's good that you probably stay out of it because you can say like, I am going to want to buy all of them and I want to have all of them. And the way that this game happens every year with these incremental increases, like it isn't worth it to me because I want it all.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
If you can be temperate about it, like it's actually pretty awesome.
I feel like it's designed to prey upon those who are not temperate. That's like the profit model.
Well, isn't that with like all video games and collectible things? Like, I think this game just is really, really. It's not good at being predatory. It's good for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely argue that you're getting a decent value out of what you get because you're also getting a toy that you can continue to play with after the game is, I guess, not whatever anymore. So that's, yeah. I think I kind of gave my two cents.
I feel like Griffin and I actually, you're making good points, Jeff. I was just going to say in response to what you're saying that I think Griffin and I might be coming at this from a little bit of a different angle because Griffin and I have the Warhammer background. So we're kind of used to this pricing model where there's no, and this maybe even seems more egalitarian because in Warhammer, you'll pay more money for a piece that's smaller and has less parts, but is more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So in this, like, I think all toys are the same. All the additional toys are around $15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so maybe to us it seems even more like, okay, that's not too bad. At least it's not like 80 and at least it's like larger than my thumb.
Yeah. I think you guys are right. I think that plays into it. And I think a lot of people who – it seems like people – that kind of mentality comes into it. Also, I just wanted to say that I have seen blind boxes, not for Skylanders, but for Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
And they cost a little bit less, and it is so gross because there's like three possibilities.
Disney Infinity does some different stuff where they do their power chips or whatever you put on the pad that augment the game in certain ways. There are blind bags for that. Like they are exercising that realm of profit mongering or whatever, what have you, but there are not difficult solutions out there to figure out what are in those bags.
Oh yeah,
And I think that Disney Infinity is probably a superior game to Skylanders, but an inferior product.
Yeah, Disney Infinity seems like the Me Too, the also
it,
ran.
It does, but no, I haven't played it. Granted, but the design that the game has, where it's like you have the missions, you have the characters, you have their stories, but when you're done with them, you can still play with them in game by going into this like giant create a world and do this like construction thing and do whatever you want. Where Skylanders is sorely missing some like post game content.
Gotcha. But it seems a little less scummy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all, you're always skeptical when Disney's involved.
yeah,
I think Skylanders just they haven't figured it out yet. Like. They're still too genuine about what they're doing. I really think that the Toys for Bob team are like good people who want to have good, like sweet looking toys. And I'm just amazed that you can have characters that have come out of nowhere that have no other background besides Skylanders become so iconic amongst children. Like kids love Skylanders. And they only exist in this game. Like Cars is a super popular thing among kids. Of course, that's a Disney film. Like Star Wars, that's been, you know, blown out in all sorts of different ways to be popular. Well,
look at how huge Angry Birds has gotten.
Yeah, yeah.
Just from being a game on a phone.
Yeah, that one's kind
there
of
was
died
a kid
down.
Playing.
But, yeah.
I was gonna say that there were like multiple little kids running around Best Buy with tablets playing Angry Birds, and I could tell by the extremely loud Angry Birds sounds coming from their tablets. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Those games are pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, I think that Skylanders Trap Team may be maybe the point where I'm ready to start playing Skylanders next edition again. Because I only played the first one. I felt like I had a good experience there. And Jeff, I do agree with you. I think that with Giants, there was a bit of a cash grab because of the incremental updates they made. But I think that was mainly because Skylanders was this accidental success. So I think that they've done enough things differently now that I can, you know, buy this game and feel good paying $60 and not playing with my old characters anymore.
I think, Griffin, you just view products in terms of like what kind of enjoyment you'll get out of them, which is good. Whereas I like am insisted upon trying to make some kind of like statement or like look at all 4 years of Skylanders and I'm like, oh, if I were to buy all 4 years of those products, that'd be really bad. But you're like, I'm gonna buy the ones I want. Like I bought some 3 years ago and I liked them and now I'm gonna try them again in 3 years. But I'm like, oh, I just assume that the person being sold to is expected to buy every single annual version of Skylanders with all the toys.
Yeah. Well, they don't. I mean, that's what's so good about it, too, is it's like they each one they say, like, well, you can use your old ones, but if you want to get the new ones, they glow. They glow when you put them on the thing. And I'm like, oh, shit, they glow? And I'm like, well, that's $60 there for the new game. And then I have to buy all my old guys and then re-level them up to where they are right now, plus 5 more levels. But they glow. And I'm like, yeah, okay. It's maybe better if I just don't engage in this because it'll be for the worse. And like, I can see that I want to go down that route, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's why I think that this game does feel distinctly different enough from the last Skylanders that I'm really interested in checking it out.
Gotcha.
And it's called Trap Team. It's pretty funny.
It's a team of transvestites.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Great. Done. Jeff, you want to talk about Nintendo Season Pass for a while?
I'm not going to talk about it for hours. I'm going to talk about it for like 2 minutes. So Nintendo has season passes now, and the world is
so sad.
And for it's such a Nintendo approach to season passes too. Like it's like the Rusty's real deal. It's like as Rusty's real deal was to microtransaction, so is this season pass to other season passes. First of all, the first game they're ever going to have a season pass for is Mario Golf for the 3DS. Which is amazing. I have no idea why they would choose that as their first title. And if you just...
I loved what you said, Jeff, about how it will be, the core game will be similar in size to their previous Mario Golf title. Yeah, so don't worry.
So along with it, they released this amazing press release where they're like, okay, guys, we're doing a season pass, but hold on. We've compared the length of this game to previous entries in the franchise, and it's comparable. So really, we're not nickel and diming you. We're just giving you more.
Comparable plus or minus 5 hours. Yeah.
No, they said it has 128 stages or some very specific number, and which is the equivalent to other games in the series. But you can get the mushroom pack, the flower pack, and the star pack.
So explain this a little more. Is it a season pass? So it's not a Nintendo-wide season pass. The announcement is they're going to do season passes for different games.
The announcement is there
is that correct?
There's going to be a season pass for Mario Golf. They literally name drop the word season pass. They're like, you can buy all these DLCs separately, or you can buy a season pass and get them at a discounted rate. Nintendo are very excited about their new season pass.
So it's not, but you kind of, the way that they kind of said it and that you kind of described it, it almost sounds as if it's one giant Nintendo season pass for all games.
No, but I wish. Like an amusement park season pass, you can just get all the games for the next. You can get all the Wii releases over the next 6 months, which is just a game. You just get Super Smash Brothers when it comes out in winter, and that's all.
See, Mario, of all the games that they could have chosen, I mean, to do this with, I feel like Mario Golf is a pretty good one, because if they had come out and said, "Hey, new Mario 3D World levels
season pass,"
I would be pretty mad.
If they'd done it with Mario Kart, imagine, because Mario Kart's their moneymaker, that's their biggest franchise pretty much right now. If they had done it with that, I think that would have been pretty risky. I guess it is pretty low risk to lead with Mario Golf and just see how that fan base reacts. Yeah. I'm sure that Satoru Iwata refused to look at any data for other companies and season passes and was like, okay, we'll give it a try. I don't know about these things. I don't think it'll work, but we'll try it.
It's either this or cell phone games.
Does this reek of desperation to you as a Nintendo aficionado, or does it just kind of reek of pragmatism?
To me, the way I read it is Nintendo has been hearing about this thing called the Season Pass. And because they don't play other games, they're just like, oh, okay, that sounds dumb. And they're like, wait a minute, maybe there's something to this, but I'm not sure. let's test it on Mario Golf.
Jeff, do you think that season passes could flourish with Nintendo? With the loyalty, with the depth that exists for each game and the Nintendo characters, do you think this might be something, if done right, can really do well for Nintendo? Or do you think it's just too me too and they're kind of just disgusting and not being creative?
I think most DLC is probably terrible. But Nintendo DLC, to me, it seems especially obvious that it's not worth your time. I just feel like Nintendo games they never feel like games that you want to have I wish that game had a little extra segment at the end that doesn't quite fit in anywhere. They're very
the character's sexuality.
Well, no, they're not like that. They're just I wish I could play three more Mario levels that are not quite as well designed as the ones I played in the main game that don't really fit in thematically or in terms of anywhere along the progression. They're just kind of there. Okay. Floating off to the side. When I play a Mario game, I play through the whole thing. And part of the process is like playing through that whole Mario game and riding that difficulty curve and mm-hmm. like playing like they're all about how like they're very like incredibly designed. Like that's something that's always been important over there. Like, you know, the experience is designed from start to finish. Mm-hmm. To play this thing that just kind of floats off in like a little blob on its own, it just feels unnecessary. Like, why do I give a shit about three more levels of 3D world? Unless they're like incredible levels. But like, I haven't seen them do that yet.
I guess I'm thinking more of like for example, Mario Kart. Like, what if the season pass was like the retro pass, and it was like, now you can play these four levels from these old Mario Kart games. Like all their, like they're only, it's just a level. Like it's a course that's already been created and already proven to be effective. It's just like.
I mean, I'd hope that they would have updated it. I wouldn't want to just pay for that. But I guess they could probably get away with it in Mario Kart, honestly. I think that would be a series where they could pull it off.
Yeah.
I think the sports games in general will probably have them.
I think you could do it with Smash Bros. Too, with levels.
Really? I don't think people would pay for stages in Smash Bros.
Oh my god, they...
I think people will pay for anything in Smash Bros.
I think they pay for characters.
Levels
maybe.
Would be the least benign thing to have in there.
I think characters would be the one that that well, people
since,
might pay for. But I
since
don't think they're
headed
do
the
that.
Direction of the Capcom business model already, you may as well, or Capcom game design, you may as well just do that.
I don't know if we're there yet, but
they put Balrog in the game.
So therefore,
it's Capcom.
No, I think Masahiro Sakurai like specifically said there won't be DLC characters.
Yeah, I wouldn't want there to be.
No, I wouldn't either. It would feel gross.
But I would want there to be DLC assist trophies.
But why? That would be like the most worthless thing ever.
Because if I was a person who was really into that game and like, and it was like, hey, spend 10 extra dollars. And you can get, you know, two of these new trophies every 3 months, and a new stage, and new music, and new thingies that you can put coins into or whatever. Like that seems like something kind of cool. If I was a big crazy Nintendo fan that didn't have like a taste like you have for quality,
I guess I think that of the scenarios you describe, the extra courses in Mario Kart 1 is the most probable. You know, hey, guess what? There's a new cup. There's a new regular cup and a new retro cup.
Yeah.
You can get them for $3 each or get them both for $5.
Right.
Some shit like that. They've been doing that. You know, they did that kind of a little bit with Fire Emblem. They did their DLC. I bought a little bit of it because I was dumb and it's not that great. DLC remains stupid. It's not
except
not much
for the
better
last
than
of us.
Yeah, well, that's a special case.
It's not a Nintendo DLC, so it's fine.
Well, no, I don't think Nintendo DLC is uniquely stupid. I just think that it is stupid.
All
just
DLC?
Generally speaking.
Really?
No. DLC as a concept isn't stupid, but it is mostly stupid, like the stuff that has come out.
I agree.
There are some notable exceptions, of course, but a lot of it is dumb.
I often just find it insulting, especially the more integrated it is into the game. Like, I'm not going to buy an X-Bone, but I've always loved Forza. Mm-hmm. And when I heard about the way that they integrated that stuff into that game, I was not happy. And people say after playing it, you get a little less mad at it. But I just don't like the idea that from pretty much any screen, you have the option of buying additional cars. It's annoying.
I don't like the DLC that essentially is like, hey, get this shitty, like, you know, like the first Bioshock Infinite DLC before the interesting ones came out, like the one where it's like, hey, fight the arenas.
Yeah.
So much DLC is just that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot.
Yeah. Hey, get this new gun pack.
But I think that's kind of the state we're in right now. I think that I agree with you. DLC is dumb, but I think it did come out being something interesting, like earlier in these systems' life cycles, and it's really just like it's worn down. It's like smoothened out through the waters of time to be less interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it has its moments, of course. I mean, there were some interesting Elder Scrolls expansion packs in there. Horse armor was not amongst them. Left Behind is interesting.
Mass Effect has a lot of really good DLC.
Yeah, Burial at Sea. Supposed to be.
Oh my God, Griffin, you're totally right. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
So it's
anything
it's out
by
there.
BioWare. Dragon Age has some good DLC.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys! New Dragon Age coming. I haven't played the Dragon Age games, but the new one looks pretty fun. I'll play that.
I'm ready to give it another chance.
I totally forgot about the Mass Effect.
Liked one.
DLC.
Yeah, there is good DLC out there, but just kind of, I have yet to encounter a Nintendo DLC that I felt needed to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at how shitty that Pikmin DLC was. Was it actually free though? I can't even remember. It looks so dumb though. Like, who gives a shit about your stupid score attack nonsense?
So angry.
I don't know. And then there was like, the games they've had DLC for, it has been really unimpressive.
It may also be a function of the types of games that we play, Jeff, because we play mostly single player games, and I feel like for the single player games that I like the most, like the Uncharted games, for example, a lot of the DLC doesn't even have to do with the single player game. It'll be like, buy this skin for your character in multiplayer.
Yeah.
So when we see that, we're like, ugh. But for someone who plays Call of Duty all day long, and they have an option to buy a new gun or something, maybe that's cooler for them. I don't know.
Can I give a review of Call of Duty Ghosts from my job, by the way?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, sure.
That game has way too much stupid upgrade shit in multiplayer. They should just take it all away.
You mean like the RPG, quote-unquote RPG elements?
Yeah, like people carrying around shields that you can't kill because they've been grinding for a while.
That's not how it works, but that's fine.
Okay.
If that disappoints
that's not
you,
how it works.
No.
Well, however it works, it's dumb.
Okay. You're right. Yep.
All the care packages and the pick up the vests and throw the vests. Just give me the gun and let me shoot people.
Yeah.
Thank God Titanfall doesn't have too much of that yet.
It will. It will eventually. It's
DLC
all there.
One. DLC 1 announced.
What is it?
Expedition or something.
But is what, like, what kind of, is it maps? Is it?
I think it's maps.
Jamie, okay. have you, it's not DLC, but have you looked at like some of the later level 50 upgrades for some of that stuff where it's like a Titan with better AI? And you're like, oh, that's the end game, having better AI. Huh.
Yeah, I appreciate that about it. Like, you can't get that much better.
Okay.
And were you making the opposite point?
Yeah, I think it's kind of horse crap that the last end game upgrade is like having a smarter AI companion.
I don't know how much smarter it is. I've played plenty of people at the last level or whatever it is, and it doesn't seem like their Titans are super smart.
Okay.
I don't know.
I really don't like progression in those games, personally. I find it really frustrating.
I enjoy it. I don't like it when other people have it more than I do.
I think the single worst thing, Jamie and I sometimes play Assassin's Creed multiplayer, and I think the single worst thing about that multiplayer is the progression.
There's a lot of crazy stuff you can get that really changes the way that you play. And one of the things I like about Titanfall is that I really don't feel like any of the weapon upgrades you get or anything like that really fundamentally changes the way that you play.
Yeah.
Might tweak it.
I think that what Titanfall does is in that vein, it forces you down a path instead of like, Jeff, what is frustrating to me about the current Call of Duty situation is if you want anything, you have to just play and play and play and everything will unlock eventually. In Titanfall, if you want to progress and get more upgrades for a weapon, you have to commit to that weapon and use that for a long time. There is some really good parts about that. That means that, like, late game, people will be limited by the amount of like points they can actually have to put into that gun or kills or whatever. And then the negative side is like, if you want to, you know, have that tactical advantage, you have to only use that thing for a while. You can't experiment.
I'm of the opinion that you should just get everything by like level 10. Mm. And then you no longer have to deal with stupid bullshit leveling again.
I really like the way they do it in Titanfall. I like the way that it's almost like, because I'll maintain my position that it really doesn't give you that huge of an advantage. I feel like the weapon upgrade systems as they stand now in Titanfall, it's almost like it is rewarding you for trying different things, like enough to get to know them. Like, because if you just try like the smart pistol in Titanfall for just a match or two, mm-hmm. you're not going to do very well with it. You really have to try it for, you know, 2 hours. So I feel like in that way, okay. The game is kind of nudging you towards, why don't you try this for a little while longer? If you do, we'll reward you in this tiny way. But it's not like breaking the game.
Right. No, I never thought of it that way, Jamie, because I'm used to like the kind of Call of Duty progression where if you play and perform really well in one match, you can earn enough points to unlock the next thing you want. But with Titanfall, you're right. Like, I know I've done that exactly with the smart pistol where I was like, I'm going to try this out for 5 or 6 matches and max it all out because it seems cool. And you can't just do that in one. Like, you can't do that with any weapon just quickly. So, yeah, that's interesting. It's not as immediate as it is in other games. And I guess I kind of miss that part because like, it's like, I want to snipe right now, but I don't have the best anything for it. And then I immediately think, okay, I'm not good at sniping.
Yeah, I feel like you have to get over that initial hump with Titanfall because you'll try a weapon. Mm-hmm. And just as you start to get the hang of it, you'll get like a little add-on to the weapon. Mm-hmm. That will show you a different facet of that weapon that you didn't really understand before. Mm-hmm. So it's like first it just wants you to get a general sense. Mm-hmm. Then it wants you to try it out with this new thing. And it kind of leads you through this series of upgrades in a pretty smart way. What I'm worried about is that I feel like they really laid all that out with the different guns very well and very smartly. And I'm worried that anything they add on after this will just kind of make it bloated and maybe break it in different ways. I don't know.
They kind of have all the archetypes out there already and I haven't gotten past any of like the level 25 stuff, so maybe it gets weirder then. But I also keep forgetting that this is a very different game because you can go kill grunts and just level your weapon up that way, you know, and you can't do that in a Call of Duty game.
It's a good game. Jeff, you got to grab it.
Why you got to level your weapons up? Just means you have to play it.
Did you listen to what I just said?
You don't level them up. You don't level them up.
You listen.
Wait, didn't you? Don't you? What do you do to them? You said you.
No, what I'm telling. What I just said is that it's not.
It tweaks
it. It's not like. Yeah, it tweaks it. It's not like Call of Duty. It rewards you in a very slight way.
Okay.
For learning about the thing.
Right.
In the first place. Right. Okay. It's almost like a nudge.
It's like, you know, it's the same thing in like an RPG where you're trading, like attack power on your sword for range on your sword.
Okay. All right. Fine. That's cool.
Oh
no, it's Titanfall. Titanfall seems better just in that regard anyway, just from the things.
Yeah.
The demos. Where you played it on a 780.
Is that what I played it on? Was it a 780?
Yeah.
We were
admiring how beautiful it was.
I wish I could have played it on a Titan Z. Oh yeah, I remember it was a thin 780.
It was a thin 780 with liquid cooling. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Titan Z.
Titan Z.
Liquid cooling sounds awesome.
No, it's just awful.
Oh.
And it breaks, and then you get literally crap all over your computer.
Yeah. Ugh.
Also, it glows.
Never mind. Oh, yeah. I thought the TV was liquid cooled.
No.
That's just like the pigments are nestled in a small amount of liquid.
I want a TV that's so hot that it gets too hot that it needs to be liquid cool.
if you put my image on a television, then that actually happens. The TV just can't handle it.
Jeff, do you have any other comments about Call of Duty Ghosts and its brilliant design structure?
No.
Anything about dog murders?
Oh, the dogs are so stupid. You have to kill the dogs. You have to shoot the dogs in the face and then they die. And it says dog kill on the screen and you get 100 points.
This is why I think that game is so inferior to Titanfall, is because, Jamie, when you're playing that game and you let your Titan, or you die and your Titan's off running around, and then you're like, you see on the map where he is and it's like, your Titan is engaging two enemy Titans, and you're running to it, you're like, no, I'll save you, buddy. That's exactly what's happening in Call of Duty Ghosts, but it's an adorable dog that sucks at being anything.
Like, also, can't you just like throw like a dog and then you throw another dog at the enemy? Like, you've killed your one dog, now let's send out another dog.
It's totally Final Fantasy VIII. You just Angelo Starshot them every time.
It's like you have like dog ammunition. You just like load the dog launcher. Launch the dog at them. And then they kill the dog. It says dog kill. I'm just going to remind you guys that there was a game that came out in 2013 that gave you points for killing dogs.
I'll remind you there was a game that came out in 2008 or 9 that you shot a dog off your wrist chakram as a limit break.
Are we talking FF8?
And we praised that as brilliant.
That came out in like 1998.
Yeah. Did I say 98? 98, 99?
You said 2008.
Okay, sorry. 98, 99.
Because that was brilliant.
Yep.
Star Ocean?
No, FF8.
Star Ocean?
Star Ocean.
Definitely Jamie, my weakest point.
Wasn't the dog limit break in FF8 brilliant?
Yes.
Yeah, see?
I think it was too.
Okay, good.
It was the best. That's why you used her.
Yeah. The dog. Oh, I'm sorry.
Legendary Dragoon?
Legendary Dragoon?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a game.
All right, this game may go quicker than I actually thought it would be, because I'm just going to knock these out. So, earlier in the show, we alluded to E3 coming up here in the next month or two. Jamie... it's going to crash that shit in June. So I have pulled up a list of bullet points of things that happened in E3 2013 in the certain press conferences. I'm going to go through them quickly, and you guys will react as video game Illuminati pundits as how interesting this is, and perhaps it may shed light on who is in more trouble than... Ooh.
Let's do it. Ready.
All right, so here is the Nintendo quote-unquote press conference notes. Bayonetta 2 was shown off.
Boo.
Am I reacting to that? That guy had cornrows.
Okay.
There was a black kid with cornrows. He was a teenager.
Yeah, it was like albino Jada Smith or Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
That game's not out yet. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Yay.
Play that game. It's really good.
Okay. Mario Kart 8.
God, that game looks good.
Yes, it sure does.
Fine.
Okay. Mario 3D World shown off in E3 2013.
That was fun. Yeah. I like that game.
Pokemon XY.
That was fun too. They're probably going to announce a version 2 of both of them.
Huh, you think so?
Not at E3.
Okay.
But they'll do it.
All right. Smash Bros. U.
In Russia, Smash Bros. U.
So that game was shown off with Mega Man.
3DS version announced for release date of August 31st.
Do you guys think that game's going to come out this year on the Wii U?
Summer in air quotes. And no, I think it's coming out in January for the Wii U.
Oh, of 15?
Choose the most inopportune time to sell video games, and that's when it's coming out.
Okay.
The Wii U holiday season confirmed completely barren. NES Remix 3.
Okay.
So from the beginning of World War III with Russia, Nintendo was selling
NES Remix 3.
They also showed in their press conference Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD.
The other one is shown in some footage, alpha footage, early
footage.
Which
is the other one?
The one that they haven't announced yet.
Okay, so you're saying New Zelda.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Wii U eShop.
It explodes.
I guess wasn't a thing back in that point, but now is. Let's see here. Art Academy.
This is remember, so sad.
Remember when that was shown off? Because
what? Okay, what old puzzle game from like 40 years ago will be announced for Wii U?
Machinarium.
No, it has to be like Tetris or
Sudoku.
Something.
Sudoku.
Yep. Sudoku Wii U. Yeah. It's going to be their marquee holiday title.
Sudoku.
Sudoku. You can play as your me. To solve Sudoku puzzles. In between, no, there's going to be like a in between Sudoku, your me can go to the cafe where Mr. Sudoku gives you hints about Sudoku puzzles
or
and
you
complains
can,
about his wife.
You can post your Sudoku questions on the Wii U message board. Now with stickers.
What new feature does Miiverse get?
A reason to play it.
League of Legends hats.
Full sexting support.
Okay, also Wii Party Wii Fit U. Has Wii Fit U not been out yet?
That's been out.
Okay. X, the X game from Monolith Soft.
30 more seconds of footage.
Okay.
No release date.
Still no name. Okay. Yoshi's New Island was shown off in 2013.
That's out already.
But Call no of Duty Ghosts.
Wow. Already released map packs for Call of Duty Ghosts announced at E3.
Wonderful 101.
Yay!
That hey yeah
highlight.
I don't know what happens with that. Mm-hmm. That's already out.
And no, then Mario and Luigi perhaps. Dream Team.
Yep, that's the game. I think what it's going to be is it's going to be like, hey, here's Zelda on the Wii U. Here's some indie games that are coming to other platforms. And then okay, here, please look at our 3DS now. We have a 3DS. Remember that one?
I was just looking at that list, and it's like. They nailed them all. Like, what is on there that's interesting that, like, is still a thing?
I mean, like, what's not addressed there that will be this E3?
Yeah, I mean, just Smash Bros., right? They'll show that off again.
Pretty much. Metroid, maybe in some capacity.
Who
They've
knows?
Been hinting at it for months now.
No, they have not been hinting at it. It's
Yes, they have. Reggie wore a Metroid pin.
The
and made
internet
a specific...
is pulling things.
No, this is how they do this shit. He wore a Metroid pin and made a very specific remark about it. They've said on several occasions that they'd love for Retro to work on Metroid. It'll happen eventually.
Retro is not the team it was anymore, first of all. And,
I agree. And... Look, I'm not excited about it, but I think it will still happen.
I just hope it's another Cranky Kong DLC that they come up there and they're like, no, Reggie was wearing a dumb pin because he works at Nintendo. He was wearing a pin of a character. Nintendo fans, get a life.
I disagree. We shouldn't get a life. In fact, I'm moving to my basement just to spite you. I'm going to live in my parents' basement.
It's Metroid Black finally coming out. Metroid Armada.
No, it's Metroid Dread, bro.
Oh, yeah, Dread. Sorry, I was beating around the bush there. Yeah.
What was I going to say? So, yeah, Metroid is probably going to maybe be a thing.
Anything third party? I mean, nobody likes that system anymore.
Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate Wii U Edition? Maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe?
Capcom is pretty desperate.
I think Nintendo might money at that. Maybe.
Well, isn't there a Monster Hunter Ultimate coming out? Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate coming out?
Yep, for 3DS.
I feel like they'd go to the PS Vita before they'd go to the Wii U again.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's one of the top sellers on Wii U.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though.
Maybe.
I'm excited enough for... I feel like Monster Hunter 4 is as good a place as any to kind of give that series a shot, because you can actually play online in that one on 3DS.
Okay, so you've got... They'll probably show Mario Kart again, because...
It's just come out.
No, seriously, yeah, like they will. And then they'll probably show Mario Golf with the season pass. And then you'll probably show Smash Bros, because that's not out yet. So is there going to be anything new from Nintendo? You were saying Metroid, Jeff, is gonna be the time to shine right now.
I think they'll at the very least they'll say Retro is working on Metroid.
All
right. They might not show anything, but they'll say it. They're definitely going to show something from Zelda because they've already said as much.
Yeah.
That's confirmed. It's known that they're already working on another Mario. They might show that if they're really desperate. It's a little fast, but...
Another 3D Mario?
Yep.
Does anybody have the Google Doc open? I closed it already. Would you write these
my predictions?
Down? Yeah, Jeff's predictions down.
All right, I will. Hold up. Jeff, I'm gonna say Metroid. Metroid alluded to.
No.
Yes.
No, because a pin on Reggie's shirt is Metroid alluded to.
Okay, fine. I'll be more specific. Metroid announced, but not necessarily shown.
Okay.
Not necessarily shown. Zelda Wii U, potential of Mario, but probably not likely.
I hope not.
And just all 3DS. Everything else 3DS.
And the world ends with you, Commander Murdive Edition, 3DS.
I'm also just going to throw
for Android
Monster Hunter Wii U on here, just because what the hell.
Jamie, do you think Nintendo is going to come out with anything at E3 this year?
The year of Luigi has become the decade and a half of Luigi.
The year of Toad.
And then the following decade will be the decade of Waluigi.
There has to be balance. They must bring balance to the Force.
I think that they're going to announce, you know what, like a serious thing. I seriously wouldn't be surprised if they announced that with Mario Kart 8, they're going to have... Season pass.
Okay. Or do you want to say season pass or DLC?
I want to say DLC, but maybe season pass.
I agree with you, Jamie. That's for Mario Kart 8 possible.
And I don't believe it will just be courses. I think it'll be courses and characters. But I don't think it'll be core characters. I think it'll be, you know, you can have.
What's a core character in Mario anymore?
Like a core character would be like as far out as Waluigi.
Ugh.
And I feel like they'll charge you for that pink thing in Mario 2.
Birdo?
Yeah.
Pretty sure Birdo's already in.
Yep.
Okay.
I feel that Nintendo would be afraid of fragmenting the online experience and might not actually do this. I'm reassessing my feelings about DLC. I'm going to disagree with you, Jamie, but I put it as your prediction.
Okay. That's really my only thing for them. I don't know what they're... I can't divine what they're thinking. I have no idea what's going on in their heads.
Like you and everyone else.
What about you, Griff?
I agree with... Okay, thank you. I think that there will be a new Zelda game shown. Most definitely, because Year of the Horse... Show some Epona action off.
Oh, will they show Hyrule Warriors?
No, that is going to be swept under the rug. But they will show the new Paper Mario game. Paper Mario Wii U. And then potentially, to go alongside that announcement, they will show Mario RPG coming to Wii U, eShop, whatever, garbage.
Okay. By the way, I put on my prediction 10 minutes of Hyrule Warriors.
Okay, everybody, quick lightning round. What does Miyamoto come out on stage either dressed as or holding?
The latest Zelda instrument.
Okay. The Zelda fife.
Holding latest Zelda instrument or apology letter. How deeply does Satoru Iwata bow?
Never. I think he's going to come dressed as the new balance board.
The new balance board, okay.
Or Cammy Dunaway.
Just wearing her skin like a suit.
Yep.
I don't know, Jamie, if you know who Cammy Dunaway is.
Nope.
Cammy Dunaway gave one of the worst E3 presentations of all time.
Robbie Drums, Jamie.
What?
Jamie, I'm going to send you Robbie Drums. Don't you even worry. I'm going to send you a video of it.
The greatest Nintendo catastrophe of all times was Wii Music.
Wii Music? Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to show that Wii U title that they've been talking about that uses the gamepad.
What is that?
What is that?
I don't know. They just said they're going to work on one.
All right.
I'm going to put it in
Nintendo
there.
Nintendo Land 2?
I'm going to say gamepad title shown.
Okay, I'll say that. I'll be more specific. Nintendo Land 2.
Nintendo Land 2? Okay.
Yep. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Xbox-Microsoft press conference. In their press conference, they showed Sunset Overdrive.
Don't even know what that is anymore.
All right.
Can I make a prediction right now for what happens? Phil Spencer fits his entire fist into his mouth.
Is that before or after the rape joke? Sunset Overdrive, Jamie, was the Sucker Punch game that kind of had like Team Fortress aesthetics combined with parkour and weapon upgrade mechanics. But it looked 100% not real because it was just like a CG demo.
That's too bad.
Guys running around, kicking things, shooting things.
What's that game that they showed with the glass breaking and then the people and the cameras and stuff?
Quantum Break.
They're going to show that again.
Hopefully. Yep. Then they...
Halo.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Halo 2 Anniversary. Can you add this to the document, Griffin? I'm not in front of it right now.
I don't have it up. I'll pull it up right now.
Okay.
No. They showed that Loco Cycle last year.
That came out, didn't it?
Yep.
Jamie, I sent you Ravi Drums.
Okay.
All right. What do you want me to add to this, Jeff?
Whatever you guys were just saying.
All right, well, whatever. Nothing. Locust Cycle, Minecraft to the Xbox One. I don't know if that's happened yet. Dead Rising 3 has happened, obviously. Microsoft Points have gone away. Yes, Killer Instinct is out. Now being taken over by Iron Galaxy after Double Helix is gone. Titanfall, everybody's happy about. Nobody dislikes.
They're going to show it again, though.
You think they'll show more Titanfall?
Yes, I do.
Huh, okay.
I really do. I'm going to just put it right now. At the very least, they will show... Okay, at the very least, I'm going to say, at the very least, a still image of a Titan.
Okay, so like in their sizzle reel of Xbox One games, there'll be a Titan? Or...
They'll be like they'll mention Titanfall by name, and there'll be a picture of a Titan on the projector.
All right.
While the word Titanfall is written across it. I'm just putting it in there.
All right, that's fine. I think that's a pretty obvious thing that will happen, where it'll be like, and the best-selling game on the Xbox One, the Titanfall. Halo 5 was shown, I guess, in some effect with that CG trailer with Master Chief having a cape and a giant Zoid monster coming out of the sand.
Yeah.
They showed Below, Capybara's.
Yep.
Capybara's game.
Oh, yeah. Mandatory, we have indies real again.
But that game has also moved on to being a PC game as well, correct?
Yes. And will almost certainly be announced for PS4 eventually.
Gosh, I hope so. It just, that from all accounts, that sounds like a really great game. So I'm ready.
Dark Souls listed as an inspiration.
Yep. Jamie, as you said, Quantum Break. We can get back to that later. Smart Glass was touched on. Black Tusk's AAA game. I'm assuming that's now either the Gears of War game or the Poop of Poop. There's still Spark, Project Spark, which is doing things. D4, Jeff, your favorite.
D4, I hope they show more of D4, but they won't.
No. Hopefully that game is not just gone to die somewhere.
No way. It'll come out. It'll happen.
Kinect Sports Rivals is out now. Crimson Dragon, unfortunately, didn't do very well. Power Star Golf, not familiar with that is. Zoe Mode. Max, The Curse of Brotherhood. I think that came out really early on, didn't it? World of Tanks.
Wasn't that a 360 game, The Curse of Brotherhood?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we're in 360 land now.
Yeah.
They're going to say, but the 360 is still going strong. So I'm going to put that right now. But the 360 is still going strong.
25-year life cycle for the Xbox 360.
And we're excited to announce a price cut.
We're excited to announce HD DVDs coming back.
I put my prediction, my serious prediction there, which is that the Xbox drops to $400 with Titanfall without a Kinect, or $450 with Kinect without Titanfall and some shitty other game.
Kinect Sports Rivals.
$400 with Titanfall. That's very aggressive.
That's what I'm guessing.
Wow. All right. Bold.
So do you think there will be a price cut, guys, at E3?
This is what I'm pretty sure there will be. I'm guessing there's going to be a price cut, and I'm guessing that there's going to be a new model without the Kinect. That's my guess.
I think that's a pretty fair guess, Jamie. I might agree with you.
All right.
That's the core of my guess, and then the $400 is kind of more of a stretch. But I'm guessing that they might be freaking out a little bit, and they might be considering options now that they wouldn't have considered a year ago.
Well,
and
one
of those options is no Kinect.
They already did $450 with Titanfall for like a week earlier this year. So that's kind of on the books already.
Still consistently in retailers, too.
Yeah.
My prediction is going to be not quite as bold as Jamie's. I think it'll be a price cut to reduce the price, but not to match the PS4's price. So it'll be a $25 to $50 price cut without changing anything.
I'm going to say Jamie is right about XBone pricing and not rewrite it, because I think you are right, Jamie.
All right.
But what's Griff's? So we get it. Griff says it's get a lower but not match.
I think it'll be a lower price but won't match the PS4. And that's so you can maintain your price point for one more year and then make like the consistent price cuts that are happening right now, but drop it to $400 so it's competitive. And then some point in the next 6 months to 1 year, cut it officially to match price.
I said $450 will have Titanfall, $400 will come without a game or Kinect.
Oh, can I make a? I'll make another prediction. They're going to announce a. They're going to announce the X-Bone controller, but it works for PC.
Oh, that's a good one, Jamie.
So it officially works for PC.
As of E3 or come this fall?
They're going to announce that at some point.
Yeah, I'm
going
to say
it'll happen.
This fall, X-Bone controller on PC.
What if they announced, this is just a guess here, what if it was the Xbox 360 or the Xbox One was beefed up to a 1 terabyte hard drive at the current price of $500, and then there was the bare bones model, which was no Kinect, no games, nothing, and it was just like $400 for the device at 500 gigs or maybe even less.
Throw it on there, man.
I agree with you that they're going to stratify it somehow. Okay. They seem to like that.
Okay. I think that's a smarter prediction there.
Make that your prediction, Griffin.
Well, I've already made my prediction. I'm just saying this is something else.
Okay.
I don't think there's going to be a major price cut.
I think there will be. They're way down if you look at the numbers. They've sold... they have actually sold to consumers like probably under 4.5 million consoles.
Yeah.
Versus
nobody can know the exact numbers on what has been sold there, but it's not like the
NeoGAF detectives. I mean, you know, yeah, they've worked out a range.
Not accurate, but yeah, when they're not telling their numbers and Sony is telling their numbers, you know something's up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I brought this whole thing up. So then we get to Sony's PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3 press conference here. They showed off the, this doesn't matter, God of War Collection, Walking Dead 400 Days, Grand Theft Auto 4, special or 5 special bundle for the PlayStation 3. And then they showed off some PlayStation 4 stuff, including The Order 1886, which consistently nobody cares about.
I was just about to say, don't care.
Yep. They showed off Killzone Shadowfall. They showed off PlayStation 4 launch games like Knack, Killzone, Drive Club, Infamous Second Son. They showed off The Dark Sorcerer, a Quantic Dream game. If you guys don't recall this was the bit in the press conference when there was a guy dressed as a wizard, and then he kind of walked off set and complained about the script.
I do recall that.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yep.
More information was supposed to come out a month later. Didn't happen. Transistor. Now this begins the indie extravaganza. That's coming out next month. Mercenary Kings is out. Secret Ponchos still coming out. Don't Starve is out. Outlast is out. Octodad Deadliest Catch is out. Galaxy is coming out. Raise the Dead. Jeff, you have a pulse on that, right?
Not haven't heard a word about it.
Okay. Final Fantasy 14 out. Drive Club canned potentially.
Maybe.
Then
I don't think it's canned though. I think it'll probably come out eventually.
We had a few hardware announcements about the PS4, Gaikai, 140 PlayStation 4 games in development, Beyond, Gran Turismo 6 for the PlayStation 3, Diablo 3, Final Fantasy 15, Kingdom Hearts 3. So I bring this up because. Of all of these lists, I think the Xbox One has the most promising games to come list. Everything else has either been fulfilled or it's not really going to happen.
Are you looking at me writing The Last Guardian as you say it's not really going to happen?
Oh, no, I was thinking more like Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I said so far for Sony. Every indie ever. Is first thing. Mm-hmm. Second of all, Shahid comes out and waxes poetic about his sexual affair with the PlayStation Vita. PlayStation Now is shown off, and The Last Guardian is shown in some capacity.
You think that?
Yes.
You think The Last Guardian is going to God, this is like the white whale. Like, nobody cares about this game anymore.
Yeah, but you know what? They've been talking about it from time to time, sometimes provoked by reporters, sometimes on their own. I think they're going to re-announce it in some capacity.
I've been racking my brain trying to think of that game that they announced during the PlayStation 4 January or February thing, which was like the reboot of that old Atari something or another where you're like a demon monster man.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, this game is amazing. And then not a single peep has been said or heard about it since then.
Yeah. It's the thing. A lot of rumblings about From Software working on Demon Souls 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
Apparently, the NeoGAF detectives think the B team was working on Dark Souls 2, and apparently Demon Souls 2 has been talked about in some capacity. There's been trademark filings for it on the internet.
Well, who knows?
I'll just throw it on there. Sure. I'll throw it on there to make things interesting. Demon Souls 2 PS4.
I hope so. I hope that that comes out. I mean, a lot of it stems from the whole agreement that Sony had with From Software with that copyright on that title and that design, and now they're like, haha, you guys are idiots. We're going to actually make a better game for multiple consoles. All right. See ya.
I'm putting it on there.
Wish fulfillment by NeoGAF.
Yeah, they tend to engage in that. But I'm throwing it on there just to make things interesting. I think they're going to really pad their length with lots and lots of indies, but that's good. I think that big budget games are creaking. You know, that whole model, that business model is creaking. So I think it's good to have indies to fall back on.
If I'm excited about one thing for Sony, it is to see what the next slew of indie games are, because I've not really been in that scene for a while since last year, and I don't really know what's out there. So hopefully they'll show some more stuff off that I can look forward to. But in terms of big hardware things, like Uncharted has become really flimsy and confusing and scary. We don't really know what's happening with that.
See, something's going on over at Naughty Dog. At least the guys who I care the most about are still there, but geez Louise.
Yeah, it's freaky. hopefully there'll be, I mean, obviously the people that left to go work on whatever projects with, you know, Star Wars EA things, I mean, that'd be great to see something about that, but I don't think we will.
No, I doubt it.
It's way too early on.
I don't know if burning bridges with Naughty Dog means you burn bridges with Sony because they're so tight. I don't know.
But if they're going to EA, then, you know, whoever wants it can get it. Like, you're not going to...
Yeah.
Sony's not going to say no.
No, I don't think they will, but Microsoft would probably have their eye on that talent, you know? Securing that talent as an exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is one of the most interesting things. I can't say a prediction on it because I don't know how it's going to go, but I think this year might be the most interesting year in terms of what gets gobbled up as what for exclusives. So like, will we hear a Titanfall 2 announcement by Xbox or like exclusive, or will we hear a Uncharted, you know, announcement as an exclusive? Will we hear that the Star Wars game is coming out only on PlayStation 4? You know, who knows how that's going to go? I think this is going to be really fascinating.
Yeah, also, I just wanted to say, I added to my predictions. For Sony, I said sports games in all caps. Okay. For Microsoft, I said sports games times 1,000 in all caps. Okay. Okay. And then for Nintendo, I said Mario sports games.
Go on, Jeff.
I was just going to say Olympic games. Olympic. Mario and Sonic. Go ahead.
My Sony predictions are a Final Fantasy 15 video comes out that seems completely unrelated to the previous footage we've seen. And seems to contradict everything that game was trying to be previously. Okay. And hints to the fact that game won't be out for another 5 years.
I agree with everything you just said.
There's going to be an infamous announcement of some kind that will probably be vague, capitalizing on the success of Second Son.
All right.
I think they're going to say something along the lines of, we're going to help indies make indie games by doing this thing, but here's what it is, but you don't know what it is, and it's weird, and it's vague, and you don't know, but we're going to do it with the indies. We're going to help them out.
And then they're going to follow up by saying, we bought Notch, the human being. Notch has pledged his eternal and undying allegiance to Sony and has sacrificed a goat to show his love for us.
And the last thing I have written is that there's going to be a Last of Us teaser trailer for something that's not DLC. There's going to be a Last of Us something. It's either going to be like from someone else's perspective or something.
Additional Last of Us DLC. Will it come bundled with?
No, it's not DLC. It's not DLC.
Okay.
That's why it's so bold.
Will it be like? Will it be like The Wind on Gone to Gone with the Wind?
Exactly. It's Gone with the Wind, but with zombies.
All right.
And it's who's the main actor in that movie? Actress in that movie?
The lady.
She's a lesbian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But with one of the lady zombies.
Are you familiar with The Wind on Gone, Jamie?
I'm familiar with Gone with the Wind.
The Wind on Gone was Gone with the Wind told from the perspective of the black woman who was
really?
Like their house servant. Yeah.
What was it? Was it a movie? Was it a?
It was a book.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's all.
Because, yeah, there's been rumblings about, like, additional Last of Us stuff from another, not DLC, that's, like, maybe from someone else's perspective or something, and that's what I'm guessing.
Gotcha. Also, what do you think of Ravi drums, Jamie?
I thought it was beautiful. So out of, it's not even to a beat, it's incredible.
It's not about the notes you play, it's about the hole you make in the wall to listen to your neighbors playing the music. I think we've wound down on our predictions. I may put some of my own stuff in here afterwards because I see we haven't really filled this out looking at it now. So we can reference this in a month or two or whatever it is.
We could also revisit it at a time that isn't 12:30 sometime soon.
Nope, the best time to make predictions is when you're completely exhausted.
That's probably true. I'm gonna add sports games to the Microsoft one again.
Add Borderlands.
No, I'm just adding sports games
to Nintendo.
No.
Oh,
just adding
oh.
sports games.
Wait. I have a real one. I have a real one. It's gonna be at both Sony and Microsoft. I'll write this down. Both Sony and Microsoft. Like new. AAA Star Wars games to go along with the movies.
Oh, all right.
You make that prediction. I don't think that will happen.
You don't think they're going to make AAA games for the movies?
It's too early for that.
They're not even going to show a picture of a Stormtrooper helmet and then put 2016 underneath it?
I think that the only thing they could do is be like, we are working with Disney and LucasArts on an upcoming project.
Here's where I think you might see that. You might see that at the EA conference. You might see Amy Hennig walk out and be like, we're going to make a thing that goes with the movie.
Maybe.
Bye.
But they've said Star Wars Battlefront before, so that's something that's in the world. Like, everybody knows that already. I mean, the EA press conferences are a bunch of horse manure, so who could even say? But Jeff, yours is probably the more realistic thing is somebody walks out and says, Star Wars, am I right?
That's kind of what I was guessing, but yeah, I'll say EA maybe. Or something. There's going to be a Stormtrooper helmet. It's going to say 2017 or something.
What about, are they going to unlock the graphics on the Wii U and realize power greater than either the Xbox One or the PS4?
Yeah, they pulled the governor off it. Now it's a true HD system.
They have to remove the limiter chip. But then what happens is that some of the systems transform into id versions of themselves.
You actually have to buy the Canadian Big Mac version of the Wii, and you plug it into the Wii U, and that's how it unlocks.
Oh, okay. In going with the Xenogears, I thought you had to go through like 70 hours of metaphysical pondering before you could fully harness the strength.
Yeah, absolutely. You realize that, that the Wii U was actually the incarnation of the previous entity known as Wii U.
Lots of quotes.
Yeah.
Remember how that game had a character that was three different characters in one?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it was four. I can't remember. They had like a quadruple or a triple identity. It was great.
Was that,
I love that game.
Satan? Him being 15 people?
No, I'm thinking of FaZe Dad.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. One of the many.
I love that game. I absolutely love that game.
Me too.
One of my top games ever.
I think that seals the deal here. The envelope has, we've written our predictions. It's been, we've licked it and closed it. Cannot reopen this until mailing it to ourselves in the future. Will not be opened until E3 2014 to see if these predictions are actually accurate. So thank you, Jeff Brewer, Jamie Scherer, and listener who made it this far. Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week. This has been Boss Rail Radio and all that stuff.
Bye.